I'm a professional cowboy, and I use catheters. Been cowboying for 25 years. I've broken 14 bones, had 2 concussions, and a punctured lung. I know pain, and I don't want any more of it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Okay with Congressman Ryan alone?
She'll be fine.
Actually, why don't you stay, Candy?
Jesus Christ, it's not like I'm gonna rape the president.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you just say you aren't going to rape the president?
Of course I'm not. Why would I say I would?
Why would you say you wouldn't?
Because I wouldn't.
I think maybe your people should come in too.
Gentlemen?
What did he do, man?
Nothing. I didn't do anything.
Well, he threatened to not rape the president.
Yeah, that's not a threat. That's a promise.
What made you think that it was cool to say that? And now.
Yeah, you can do it.
What's that?
High five.
For what?
I was trying to help you get pumped up.
Okay, let's do it.
It's too late.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 15th of June. What's up, you guys? What's up, Allie? What's
that? A strong start.
What's that, breath?
I don't know.
What's happening?
Long week, right?
It feels like a real long week.
Does it?
Yeah.
I was hoping for a dynamic and exciting opening of the show and a momentum that we would sustain all the way right up till 10 o'clock.
Hey, we feel great.
Hit the ground running.
Take two.
Hey, Allie, how's it going?
Hey, Bean, so good. Can't wait for the weekend. Pumped!
Much better.
So bad.
You're the worst.
I know.
It is Thursday morning.
Yep.
And, right?
Yeah, you're bringing the dynamic
right
now.
Seriously.
Good Lord. Did I do that?
That's how you're starting?
Was that my doing?
No.
It was.
Really?
You brought me down about 25 notches, Allie.
Man.
I came in
That's
here.
That's convenient, Bean, but you had a chance to think about it as well, and
But I started out as an A+, okay. And then Allie poo-pooed all over it, and now I'm like a C-.
Right.
So I just...
rechecked that it's Thursday. That just happened.
Yep.
I'm delicate, and I'm injured now.
Wow. From
you
Allie's
know,
from lack of enthusiasm.
Lack of enthusiasm, yeah. Yes, exactly.
I wield some power.
She just tanked the whole show, and now we've got to recover.
Now we
can't start over. Now we just have to slog our way back out of the hole.
Right,
now
but we're not on the air yet, so it's all good.
We got till 6.
Don't even worry about it.
I have two great... I love animals so much.
Oh, man.
What? I do. I love animals so much. And I just... When I see stories, I mean... Look, I'm not a big crier, but I got to tell you, I get teared up at a bunch of animal stories. And lately, there have been some that have just slayed me. Here's one. Check this video if you get the opportunity. Have you seen? Okay. That's not a mocking thing. This is a very sweet story. I have two very sweet stories.
It's not a mocking thing from you, but I can make my own choices.
There are two amazing stories out on the internet this week that are well worth seeking out. One is a man in Argentina who rescued a condor when it fell out of its nest as a baby. Now, I don't have a lot of the details. I wish I did. I have to blame the Argentinian press for this. But I think the chick may have been abandoned by its mom. Oh. So it falls out of the nest as a baby. And this man, whose name is Edgardo, he rescues the condor and somehow figures out a way to feed it and to keep it warm and to nurse it back to health because it had been injured in the fall. Again, I wish I had more details as to specifically what the problem was with the little bird. But he spends this time with the little bird, and the bird gets well and eventually flies away to go off and be a condor. Okay?
Okay.
Fast forward 6 months, and the condor, who, as you know, is the largest bird in the world, I think, right?
Came back and killed that man.
Oh,
comes back
right
to visit the man, and there is video of the condor landing on the beach out in front of the man's house, seeing the man, running toward him with its wings spread and engulfing him in a hug.
Are you positive you weren't watching a Disney movie?
Yes, I am. Okay. There's video of it. The man is hugging on this now enormous bird and petting him, and they are so affectionate with one another, and so it's so obvious that they know each other, and they have not like that, and they have this bond.
Yes.
And this is a dumb bird, by the way.
Kevin, I don't think they're...
What?
I don't
think
they're
like that at all.
Doing
yeah.
it.
Oh.
And the man says on the video, he says on the video, "How are you, crazy thing? How are you? What a beauty you are." And he grabs him and he hugs him and they're just like best friends. How sweet is that?
They just happen to have video rolling when you just happen to fly in. Fake.
By the way, that's a great question.
Right? Come on.
Conspiracy theory again.
No, I didn't even think of that. But unless it was rolling long before the bird landed, why would...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My guess is that the bird has...
He called
visited before or was around for a while that day or something like that.
So they started the video after he was already there.
After the bird had already landed. Okay. Right.
All right.
Don't poo-poo on this story.
I'm listening.
Love that this bird came back to visit and probably in his head thank the man for rescuing him as a child.
That is very sweet. It's like it's that. Was that a penguin story. Or something that came back to visit a man?
Yes, it was a penguin. All right.
Adorable.
So do we have time for thing two? Or
sure.
Is that just,
I think
okay, so thing two is short. And I love this story, too. This is a man named Easton Dufour is his name. And he put up a story on Twitter this week. Allie, you're on the Twitter all the time. You probably saw this. He had two dogs named Stitch and Cookie. Did you see Stitch and Cookie?
I can't. Nope. I will not listen.
So
it'll kill me.
He got Stitch. His family got Stitch when he was in kindergarten. And then around the third grade, they got Cookie. So because they wanted Stitch to have some company. So Stitch and Cookie are very, very close. And for whatever reason, I've never heard this before. And this certainly wouldn't work with my dumb dogs. But for whatever reason, they feed the dogs in one bowl. The dogs share their dinner. They feed them. They put food in one bowl and put it down, and they eat. They each eat their half, okay? And apparently Stitch taught Cookie that's how it's supposed to be done. You eat your half, and I eat my half. Unusual for dogs to do that, right?
Right.
Because usually you know how dogs are with food, man, is they want it all.
Yeah, whichever one's the alpha dog just eats all of it.
Exactly. So years and years and years go by, and of course they're very tight. They're compared to Batman and Robin. They're always playing together and getting along and taking care of one another. And then Stitch, being the older dog, unfortunately one day passes away. And now
the condor sweeps in and picks him up and takes him off into the sunset.
No.
And Allie, you wanna tell the bad man what Cookie does?
Well, this gentleman posted a picture of the dog bowl, and Cookie now leaves half of the food every single day. Oh, my God, I can't. Just a picture of a bowl of dog food will leave you in a puddle of tears.
What is happening today?
It's sad. So, and then so many people responded, and then he started posting pictures of the two of the dogs together, and just, I got very invested in these dogs.
So Kevin, Stitch is gone now, but Cookie still will only eat half of the food in her bowl.
Right, I get
which
that.
Is all the food for her.
Right.
He didn't leave double the food so Stitch could have some. So Cookie's not even eating enough.
It's the sweetest thing I think I've ever heard. I think dogs may be better than people, by the way.
Maybe.
Please.
What? What please? You're saying it's obvious? Of course they are.
Yes. And you also believe all animals are better than humans.
Well, even I don't
millipedes?
Know about
that. I mean, yeah.
I love millipedes.
Even Jane? Right? And Jane too?
But what about Cookie, though? How sweet is Cookie? I
love
her.
Best.
And I hope
best.
Kevin's wrong and the condor doesn't come back and pick up Cookie and this story has a terrible ending.
That'd
just
be
saying.
Awful.
Just trying
so
to
there you
tie
go.
It
there's
all together.
There's your warm and fuzzy animal stories today. I hope you enjoyed them as much as I did.
All right. We're going to start a new feature, Animal Stories with Bean.
I like it.
I like it.
Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Don't get bogged down in the details.
It's Thursday, so we talked to Dr. Drew. Thursdays mean we also talked to Jim Rome. I don't know if you saw, but the Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor fight is on August 26th.
Crazy.
So stupid.
It's on.
And weren't you hoping it wouldn't be?
I don't really know what I was hoping. I think I just assumed it would never happen.
Yeah.
So I didn't give it much thought. But now I'm thinking, how do I not buy the fight?
Right.
But I hate Floyd Mayweather so much.
Yeah.
But what if he gets knocked out? Then I want the fight.
Oh, that's cute.
You know?
Yeah.
Not going to happen?
No.
Jillian Bell will join us in studio from the new movie Rough Night. You might be a Father's Day promotion. It's a strange
it's
one.
Best.
It's a weird one. And can we... hey, Bean, time out. Hey, Bean.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Dave. I don't know what
we
the
could
specifics are.
The that's morning what we of.
Right.
So, but we better double check.
But
nope.
No?
Nope.
Okay.
The answer's no.
Okay.
Well, when can we?
We'll find out.
right, we have a super secret surprise guest at 8:15 this morning. That is a huge star that you love, and we are excited to talk to him or her. But we are not yet. We've not yet been told when we are allowed to reveal the identity of said guest.
So we can just tell you 8:15.
8:15. Yeah, mm-hmm. Don't want to miss it. And and let me just say, because I teased this last night online, it's not the Armenian comedian. I know that's what it sounds like.
No,
but this is legit. And
I thought about this for about 20 minutes last night. I was just thinking, bring on Sam. How can I hide the fact that Sam's on the phone or in the building from Bean?
Nope.
I was making all these elaborate plans.
Nope.
So, all right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat with Allie next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of our friend Ralph Garman here with the Showbiz Beat. How are you, Ralph?
Sup?
Welcome back.
Thank you. So let me get this straight. The dog is too dumb to know that the other dog is dead, and so he leaves half the food for a dead dog?
It's not a dumb thing. It's a
it's a dumb thing.
Dog is.
No.
How does the dog not know the other dog's dead?
Well, the dog probably does, but the dog is sad.
I think the dog is dumb.
You're saying the dog knows but is leaving half purposely?
It's like he's pouring some out for his homies?
Yes. That's exactly what he's doing.
No, he's not.
Wait,
he's not doing that.
You think the dog knows too?
He's being respectful.
No.
Yes.
What? No, the dog's not doing that. The dog is just dumb.
Nope.
It's been conditioned and trained, and now even despite acknowledging what it knows, it can't break its training.
No. Cookie wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
No.
Cookie's dumb.
Cookie's smart and just loving.
Nope. Just dumb.
Just pouring one dumb out for cookie. The homie.
Nope.
The girl's right.
No, the girl's not right. Stop anthropomorphizing this dog.
I don't know what that
means.
What
does that word mean?
Projecting human characteristics onto an animal or...
I don't think these are human characteristics. I think these are dog characteristics. I think dogs have that sensitivity.
Agree to disagree.
The dog just can't figure out... Well, it's sad. I'm bummed that my homie's gone, but still my dinner, so I'm just going to eat dinner.
But he's leaving half. He doesn't know that he's getting more.
I heard the story.
You did?
Yeah.
It's Cookie and
he's conditioned to leave half. That's just the training of the dog. It's conditioning of the dog.
And then he doesn't want to...
It's not a conscious choice. He's not saying, what's up, yo? And he's like, hitting his chest and, like, kissing his fingers or anything every time he eats.
Peace out.
But wouldn't a conscious choice be eating it then?
That's what I'm saying. The dog's too dumb to recognize what's happening and make the right choice. You're celebrating a dumb dog.
No.
Dumb.
How dare you?
Dumb cookie. You ever heard the phrase dumb cookie?
I have not.
Well, luck out.
This is very sad. Just let us have Cookie, Ralph.
You guys are kidding yourselves, man. Just trying to wake you up. Get woke, yo.
Now that's a dog.
Right?
Right.
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 Hey, Father's Day's coming up this weekend.
What?
Yeah. You got big plans, Kevin? Gonna be in Vegas? No, your kids celebrate at home, the way you usually do?
I have been at EDC
the phone call?
The last 3 years, I've been at EDC, yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of girls in Vegas that call you daddy.
You already did?
Yeah, I got
Boom!
Yeah.
No, strippers!
Got the Bob Saget charity dinner tonight.
Oh.
And then the Galaxy game tomorrow night, and then Father's Day. So.
You're a day off.
The Saget thing was tomorrow night.
You're a day off.
I'm a day off.
All that.
Yeah. It's not Friday?
No, it's Thursday.
Oh. You don't even know what day it is, dude.
Oh, sweet spirit. Didn't I say at the beginning of the show it's a long week? Oh, man.
Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because the London Guardian newspaper has released a list of the top 10 best films about fathers. Films about fathers is the list for this morning.
All right.
This is according to the London Guardian. So take it with a grain of salt. Now, also understand, there's not a lot of super modern films.
Okay.
For example, the most recent film on the list is from 2012. Well, I guess that's pretty recent. But they listed what they believed were the top 10 films about fathers. Want to take any shots? Want to take any guesses?
Well, the first one that came to mind, although it's a romantic comedy, there was a strong father doing right by his son element to it, and it was Sleepless in Seattle.
Nope.
Okay.
You said the most recent is 2012?
Yes.
Oh. Every single one I thought of is much later. Like Father of the Bride type of ones.
Father of the Bride came out before 2012.
Oh, you said the most recent.
What's happening with
just,
this one?
I was just in backwards town.
What's wrong with Cookie?
The most...
Cookie's gone bye-bye.
Holy crap, I lost my mind.
No.
I don't think so.
Father of the Bride.
Not on the list.
Oh, God.
After all that. We may remember the movie, but the show was great. How about Parenthood?
No.
Is that not about fathers?
Look, I didn't make the list.
Oh.
I think that was about parents, I think, more than fathers. If it was called Fatherhood, I think it would have been on the list.
Okay.
But specifically, this is about fathers.
Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
Kevin, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, number 10 on the list.
Yeah! If you build it, they'll come, and then it's
because
all corn.
Darth Vader saves his son. We're still talking.
He's throwing. There's a
Darth
baseball.
Vader saves his son.
And he's a ghost.
I just got one, and no one
you
else
did.
Has.
Yeah,
he comes
impressive.
In, and he's a ghost,
so
and he's like, do you want to play catch? What the hell is the name
Field
of that?
Field of Dreams is
yes.
not on the list.
What?
Just to
Alan's
stop
wasted
you.
The most time for getting none right.
Isn't that the truth? Rugged guy, Cookie.
I am completely blank on this one.
Some of these are pretty cool. For example, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's when Indiana Jones and his dad team up, right? Sean Connery as his father, and they go on that adventure.
Oh, that's right.
Very father-centric. Sound of Music. Christopher Plummer as the father of the Von Trapp family. Actually, saves his kids from the Nazis. Best dad ever. Your dad never saved you from any Nazis.
No, that's very true.
Right?
That's very true.
This is probably a little-known film, but it's a classic, and it is a great relationship. A film called Paper Moon.
Oh.
With Ryan O'Neal.
It's a great movie.
He plays a con man who has a little daughter who's training to be a con man as well. And it's a charming film. And that was
Tatum O'Neal, right?
That's right. His real-life daughter. The Godfather, they say here. Marlon Brando may be a gangster, but he's a great dad.
It's so funny. I thought that, and I was like, no, he's a terrible person.
He loves his family and his kids.
I can see that.
He's all about family.
Who cried more when Sonny was shot up at the toll booth than Vito?
Spoiler alert.
Nobody.
Look what they did to my son. Look what they did. Oh, Santino.
Very touching.
I have a guess that I think is going to be on your list. I think it's super legitimate.
Okay, prequel.
I mean, honestly, just give a guess.
Preamble.
You said an earlier movie about a father saving his son. What about saving his daughter? And what about a movie called Mother Effin' Taken?
Taken.
No.
Oh.
But he had a set of skills.
I thought that was a good
one. He's very disappointed.
That's all he does the whole movie, to save his daughter from
being prologue,
kidnapped.
Nice prologue, though. Nice prologue.
He gives 2 minutes of hype before his guests.
To Kill a Mockingbird with Gregory Peck. Probably the most famous movie dad of all time. Atticus Finch, right?
That's a pretty great movie.
Yeah.
The Silver Linings Playbook with Robert De Niro.
Really?
Who's the father and who's the kid in that one?
De Niro and Bradley Cooper.
Okay. The whole film's about that relationship.
All right.
You'll let us have that one?
Well, I didn't remember who was who. No, of course I saw it. But all of those movies with all the same cast that director makes, I can't keep them all straight. Because he's got all those movies with Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence and Robert De Niro and stuff, and I don't know who's who in which movie.
All right.
How about Taken?
Not on the list.
Oh.
Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye, of course, legendary dad. And then Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo. It's all about a dad trying to find Nemo. He's a dad looking for Nemo.
Right.
You don't get it. So those are your top 10.
Recapping, who got one?
Those are your top 10 fathers.
Just Kevin.
And who didn't get one?
Everyone
else.
Well,
Field of Dreams should be on there, right?
Bean did not get one, nor did Cookie.
How about that? Can we call her Cookie from now on?
I like it.
Okay.
Listen, I don't hate it.
I want to give you a heads up. Tonight at 9 p.m., down at Los Angeles City Hall, a very cool thing is going to happen. Our mayor, Eric Garcetti, and the Los Angeles Police Department Chief, Charlie Beck, will be doing an honorary lighting of the bat signal in honor of the passing of Adam West.
Yay!
That is awesome.
It is really awesome. We're all going to be down there on the steps, the Spring Street steps of Los Angeles City Hall. The mayor is going to have to say a couple words. Charlie Beck is going to talk. They've asked me to say a few things, which is pretty cool.
Have they, or are you just going to crash because you really want to be there?
I might swing in on a bat rope. I don't know. I'm thinking.
You're going to wear a costume, Ralph?
I will not. No.
Okay.
But at 9 o'clock, they're going to throw the switch, and the bat signal will be projected onto the tower of City Hall.
That is
awesome.
A wonderful tribute.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool thing. So everybody's getting there around 8 o'clock, and then the actual ceremony starts at 9. So I just want to give you the heads up. Once again, it is 200 North Spring Street. The Spring Street steps of Los Angeles City Hall is where it's all going to happen. So if you'd like to come out, I think it's going to be a very cool event. And it's a very nice tribute. And, you know, not a lot of people get that kind of send-off from a city. So
true.
It's kind of nice. Today's celebrity birthday is Jim Belushi, 63 years old today. Helen Hunt is 54. Courtney Cox turns 53. Ice Cube is 48. Leah Remini is 47. Gary Busey's son, Jake Busey, a very talented actor in his own right, is 46. And Neil Patrick Harris turns 44. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock Road Trip 2017 Destination number 2 is a good one, you guys. Incubus and Jimmy Eat World in Seattle, Washington. You see the bands at the Hollywood Bowl August 14th. And if you win the grand prize drawing Monday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, you get round trip airfare, hotel, and spending cash to go see them again in the Emerald City. Get all the details at KRock.com. Your chance to win coming up at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Jim Rome on sports. And boy, is there a lot to talk about in sports today, right?
Yes, there is. Yes.
You mentioned the McGregor-Mayweather fight. There's also all the Clippers news that's going on and so much more. So that'll be just after 8. Dr. Drew on the program today and our super secret surprise guest. Less than two hours from right now, we're still unable to reveal the name of him or her. But trust us.
Or them. Somebody, it could be them.
Or it could be them, I guess. Yeah. I guess it could be. That's right. Not giving it anyway.
Sure.
You're not going to want to miss it.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Is that the end of the cell?
Yeah.
Okay.
8:15.
All right. We were just talking to Mandy Moore about 47 meters down. Mm-hmm. And she had a bad breakup, and she went down in a cage to see the sharks because it would be a good photo op.
Right.
That she could then send to her ex and say, look at me having a great time without you.
Yeah. She really was terrified of going out. We're not spoiling anything. This is in the trailer. She's terrified of going out in the water with these guys that they just met down in Mexico and trusting them to safely take them down into the ocean in a shark tank, a shark cage. Terrified to do it. But then you're absolutely right, Kevin. She thought, but won't this be a burn on my ex-boyfriend if I could send this photo and show that I'm living it up out here?
Yeah, it was her stupid sister's idea. Yeah.
And that's right? And as you've seen from the trailer of the film, and I hope you go see it this weekend, it turned out to not be a great decision to go down there in the shark cage. And that got us thinking about something that I think is going to be very near and dear in the history of a lot of the Kevin and Bean listeners, and that is you made a terrible decision for the photo. You did something dumb.
Or the video.
Or dangerous or regrettable because you wanted something cool to post on your social medias. I'm thinking about how many times, and we're going to take your calls and your texts, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. What'd you do that was dumb for the photo or the video, and do you regret it? I'm thinking of how many times I've brought you stories in Death Corner of a guy who's trying to get that perfect picture at the edge of the Grand Canyon.
Yep.
Or whatever it is.
Get a little close. Get a little closer. A little close. Too far. Hey. Too far!
And it's the last thing. You know, God, obviously no one's going to call with that story. But, I mean, when you see that story, you go, this is just somebody who had a bright idea. Light bulb went off over their head, and they thought, oh, this could be such an awesome picture.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure for social media, for Instagram and stuff, because everybody else seems to be living such a glamorous, fun-filled life. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of pressure to keep up.
Yeah.
So I need to do some stuff so that I can look good.
I don't think you need to be near a cliff.
No, ever. I'm not saying me. I'm okay. Saying that's how people think.
Yeah.
I do enough dumb stuff on my own without Instagram.
Yeah.
So. But, Kevin, if you're walking around and you see a polar bear or something, the impulse is...
Where am I? As an example.
Right, but where am I in this?
What kind of just example?
In this example, where am
anywhere
I?
Anywhere you happen to be today, if you see a polar bear... You're going to go, oh, I got to get a picture of me with this polar bear. Because, look, it's fine to take a picture of the bear. But how much more awesome would it be if I can turn around and make it a selfie of me next to the polar bear? Now I got myself a picture that's going to get a lot of likes, right?
Right. And then I'm going to jump on the polar bear's back.
back and take some more.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Do a whole series.
But that's exactly the kind of thinking that gets people in trouble, because they're blinded by the fact that this is a freaking bear that's probably going to kill and eat you. All they think is how awesome it's going to be to have a photo of you with a bear.
All I can think of right now is Mr. Bad Example, and I can't wait to go back and listen to that one again.
Polar bear. Didn't you just say bear? A polar bear.
I'm standing by it.
Oh, my God.
So 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your dumb ideas that you had for the video or for the photo for social media, and what was it and why did you do it? And by the way, I was thinking of something else, too, is Dave was reminding us of that guy who does those Daredevil videos.
Mm-hmm.
And how often he gets hurt. The guy who jumps off the roof of a building to try to land in the pool. Then he missed the side of the pool and broke his ankle. Perfect example. There's a guy who only did that because he knew it would make an awesome video.
Yeah, right? I used to jump off my roof into a pool when there was no Instagram. Because I'm dumb.
Exactly. All right, let's take Austin in Santa Clarita to get us going here again. 1-800-520-1067, your calls and texts. I did it for the gram. That's what we're talking about here on the Kevin Mead Show. Austin, what happened, man?
Hey, morning, party people.
Morning.
Hey, so I brought my phone up on a roller coaster. It was a swing roller coaster, and lost the grip because I did not have a case on.
Oh,
and
no.
That shattered.
Your phone shattered.
Fun stuff.
So one minute you're thinking how awesome this photo is going to be. The next minute you don't even have a phone.
Did a video of it, and then sure enough, never got to see that video.
Yeah, that's
but quitters never give up. Am I right? Go back.
I've heard that.
Yeah, true.
You go back and you get on that roller coaster and you show it who's boss.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Austin. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls and texts next on K-Rock. So we're talking about dumb ideas you have because you think it's going to make a great social media post, a photo or a video, and then after the fact you realize, oh, man, what was I doing? It wasn't worth it.
Dumb decision, yeah.
That's what we're talking about here at 1-800-520-1067. And we got some good texts and some good calls, including Luke. He's in Florida, you guys.
Hey, Luke.
So he's a guy who makes nothing but bad decisions.
Right? Why are you in Florida, Luke?
Oh, you know, I live here. And
why? But why?
Because there's all the crazy people here.
Well, I mean, that is true.
Right? Have you ever tried driving out of the state over the border into, like, Georgia?
Have you tried to escape?
Yeah.
Or is there a huge wall there now and you're unable to leave Florida?
I did go to Valdosta one time, which is right over the border.
Oh, and, you were out, man. You were out.
And you came back in. It's crazy. how do you come to be listening to a radio station in Los Angeles this morning?
Man, it was like almost 9-10 years ago. My brother and I were trying to find podcasts to listen to. We just randomly found your show.
Is that right? So you never lived in Southern California?
No, I've only been as far west as Vegas.
How about that? Well, that is very cool, and you stuck with the show all this time.
Yeah, I like pain, you know.
I like pain.
All right. Well, listen, so you're streaming us this morning, and you heard us talking about the bad ideas that you had for social media. What did you do?
Okay, so a little context. My family is, like, super religious. My dad's a pastor, you know, very conservative people. And so when I was younger, I thought it would be funny to for the family reunion photos. To, like, do a covert middle finger.
Right.
Picture I was in.
By the way, that is funny.
It would be funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be the only one that would know it, and I'd point to it and, like, oh, like, you know, no one could tell it was me. But being a little kid, I wasn't as covert as I thought I was. It was so
Wait, what? Awesome. You mean later you didn't think anyone would be able to identify that it was you?
Well, I was a young, stupid kid. I thought it was, like, I would be the covert and no one else would notice that I was giving the middle finger. It would just, you know, be a thing that only I could see.
I got you.
I love that so much, Luke, that you thought you would be invisible to the other relatives in the photo. That's the best.
Who discovered it?
I ruined every photo.
Yes.
Everyone. It was so obvious. I mean, I wasn't hiding it at all. So obviously my pastor father couldn't put it up, you know, on his wall, his kid giving the middle finger out in the middle of the photo, you know.
I'm just guessing that's not the last time that you ruined something for your dad. Am I right?
You know, just a couple times.
Well, listen, Luke, you sound like an awesome young man. We very much appreciate you listening out there in Florida, and thank you for calling, all right?
Yeah, take it easy, guys.
Thank you, Luke.
Okay.
How funny is that?
That's bizarre.
Let's go to Garden Grove next. This is going to be line two, and our friend Paul is up next on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, it was just, I was posting just a dorky picture of me, like, from 1992,
mm-hmm.
and it was an old ID from my work.
Right.
And I didn't notice it, so I stepped away from the computer, went downstairs for a couple hours. I come upstairs, and all my friends are just going crazy on Facebook to get it off, because my Social Security card was my ID number.
Oh.
And she's sitting up there and stuff, and people are going, I got a car! I got a car! Yes!
So you posted your Social Security number on it.
Oh, Social Security was up there for 2 hours on Facebook.
Oh.
Dude.
How do you... You can't change that.
Bean, I swear to God, I didn't even notice it. I didn't even notice
No, but what I'm saying is you can't change your Social Security number, so that stays the same. So how do you protect yourself?
They use that as our ID. They put it right on
I understand that.
ID card.
I understand that, but I'm saying, how did you stop people from using it?
Well, I didn't. I mean, I just took it off. I redid the photo and just marked it off.
So just right. Hopefully no one saw it.
Lucky. Well, you hope it's Facebook or your friends. I hope your friends aren't going to screw you over.
Yeah, somebody somebody stole your identity and got a car loan or something. There's no question about that. But that's that's a lesson learned. And by the way, let me ask you about this, Paul, because maybe you know more about this than I do. People freak out whenever somebody posts an airline boarding pass online. Is there some way that somebody can screw with that? Do you know? Because it has one of those codes on it or something?
I've done that a few times, too. I wouldn't, making all my friends jealous saying I'm out of here,
Yeah, people, I've been told it's a terrible idea to post a boarding pass. There's some way that somebody can use that information.
They can use the scan. The scan that's on there.
The QR code or whatever, huh?
Oh, if that little barcode is, maybe they
yes.
can use it to, yeah, maybe.
See? We're all learning something here. Thank you for the call, Paul. We really appreciate it.
Party people.
Thank you. You as well. All right, a couple of texts real quick. Again, talking about dumb things you did just for the photo. From the 949, I ate a fistful of ghost peppers on video.
Yeah.
And how many times have we seen these in the internet around it, right?
Yep.
I felt like I was poisoned, and I thought I was dying. I ended up fainting a minute later. And I wonder these – I mean, look, people have always – People have always done dumb things just clowning around with their friends. I bet a lot more people do dumb things like these kinds of challenges now because of the internet and because of the hits that you get on those videos
absolutely.
And stuff like
Once
that.
Once you see the first 10 or 11, you're in, you do it, you want to get in on it early.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And one more, this from the 323. I thought it would be a good idea to take a picture with a really cute baby cow. I went into the stable and didn't notice there was also a bull in there. He rammed me and broke my phone and my leg.
Yay! Oh, wow.
So 1 minute, you're just getting a tiny little cow photo, and you think how adorable this is going to be. The next minute, they're carrying you out of there on a stretcher with a broken leg. Well done, 323.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 651.
The delightful and talented Jillian Bell is going to be joining us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show for the new film Rough Night that looks very, very funny. Also, Jim Rome on sports today and our super secret guest at 8:15 this morning. You won't be disappointed. Hey,
this is Jillian Bell. Oh. Jillian Bell.
Omar, get us a theme song together, please.
Do that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Time for the show business. What's going on, man?
I want to give away a little something before we get to the show business news. This is a $100 box lunch gift card.
Yay!
I'm sure you must be familiar with the box lunch stores. There's about 8 of them in Southern California, and they've got all kinds of cool pop culture collectibles from movies and music and TV shows, comic books, superheroes, and much, much more. If you're not near a box lunch store, you can go to boxlunch.com and use this gift card as well. $100 worth of boxed lunch goodies for you. Give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 20. Caller 20 will win a $100 boxed lunch gift card. And speaking of pop culture and comic books and superheroes, tonight at 9 p.m., the city of Los Angeles is doing a very cool thing. They're going to pay tribute to the man beneath the bat mask, Adam West, who, of course, passed away last Friday. The city is going to pay tribute to him and honor him by projecting the bat signal onto City Hall tonight at 9 p.m. in a big ceremony. The mayor, Eric Garcetti, is going to be there. Los Angeles Police Department Chief Charlie Beck will also be on hand. Some of Adam's friends and co-stars and the like will be speaking. They asked me to say a couple words tonight as well. So we're all going to be there on hand tonight at 9 p.m. on the Spring Street steps of the Los Angeles City Hall. We're going to pay tribute to Adam. And then we're going to throw the switch, and the bat signal will be projected up on the tower of the building.
Are you going to loan
him
your...
In one moment, we'll come face to face with the moment of truth.
Yes. What were we saying, Kevin?
Are you going to loan him the spotlight that shines up into the sky?
The bat signal?
Out of your house?
I believe they already have one on okay. hand, but I do have one at the ready should they need it. And also the family, by the way, is encouraging people... If they can't be there, if maybe they want to make a contribution to two of Adam's favorite charities, the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. They've got an Adam West Memorial Fund already on their website if you'd like to donate. And also there's, you know, Adam lived in Idaho as well as here in Southern California. He had a home there, and he had a favorite charity that dealt with children who were diagnosed with cancer and their families called Camp Rainbow Gold. And they're also accepting memorial contributions to that charity as well, so... That's tonight at 9 p.m. if you want to come out. Be kind of cool. I think it's going to be a nice event. We'll have to wait and see.
How true.
Thank you. Thank you, Desmond Doomsday. Gene Simmons is the best, right?
What's he up to?
Well, let me tell you. He has applied for a trademark for this.
No.
For the rock and roll
no.
horns hand gesture. You know, when, thank you, Los Angeles! When you put the horns up with
right.
your hands
on.
And your thumbs out like that and you throw up the horns.
That wasn't done before Kiss?
Not according to Gene Simmons.
Huh. He claims he invented that?
Gene Simmons has filed the paperwork with the United States Patent and Trademark Office to have the rights to, and I quote, the hand gesture with the index and small fingers extended upward and the thumb extended perpendicular.
But...
That's this.
That's not...
Hello, Los Angeles!
That's... I love you in sign language.
Right, he's also copywriting that.
That's not devil horns. He's... what I'm saying
because
is
the
wrong
thumb
one.
Placements.
No, this is the Malocchio. You're talking about the Malocchio when you put your thumb over on the fingers. That's the evil eye. The Sicilian evil eye. You're putting a hex on someone in Italy. We're talking about this one. Hello, Los Angeles!
That's I love you.
Listen, Cookie.
I'm you know, just saying. I feel like... what?
Gene says he first used it on November the 14th, 1974, when Kiss was on tour. And then he also flashed it again on the cover of the band's 1977 album, Love Gun.
Now, does that mean if I'm at a concert and I do that, I'm going to have to
you
pay,
to write him
pay
a check. Him? He's going to be sitting over you. Him some money. You gotta write him a check right there at the concert. He wants to own that.
Yeah.
Now, huh. As Allie mentioned, it is the sign for I love you in sign language. No word yet on whether they will have a problem with him trying to steal that from them. I don't know. Maybe they haven't copyrighted it. Maybe it's fair game. Maybe they never took the time to trademark it. Spokesperson said, I can't hear you. So when they were asked about that,
you're a terrible wow. human being.
I'm just saying, they asked a spokesperson.
Nope.
You are a bad person.
Yeah, I'd move on.
I'm saying.
I'd definitely
you
move on.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Stay old, chum.
Thank you.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
Okay.
How true.
How true indeed. It looks like Ryan Seacrest will indeed be the host of American Idol when it returns to ABC.
Guys, we don't need or want American Idol to come back.
I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah, why do you care so much? You don't watch it?
Okay, that's a fair point.
Okay.
People were questioning whether he would return as host or not, but apparently they have hammered out a deal. Insiders are saying he landed a deal for about $10 million to host this season. So, you know, it's a couple weeks' work, you know. You can see why he's got to make that kind of coin. So Ryan himself said to the Hollywood Reporter that he's been asking himself the same question over and over again. Who am I, if not the American Idol guy?
No.
I'm sorry, that was his quote?
That's not a real quote.
That's a real quote.
What? I'm sorry?
Very poignant. Very poignant.
That's
question.
A real quote.
That's the question. That's the important question he's been asking himself over and over again, Kevin.
I read that whole interview in
it's
the Hollywood Reporter.
Existential crisis.
And he talked about how it would kill him, he says. I think those were the words. To see that show rebooted with somebody else as the host. He can't fathom him not being that guy.
Who am I, if not the American Idol guy?
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
Yeah.
That just happened.
Sweet spirit.
Right. That's crazy. Someone's gone bye-bye.
Who am I?
Grief.
Who am I? If not the guy that makes $10 million to stand there and read cue cards.
Yeah.
That's a sweet gig for 10 mil.
Yeah, no kidding.
Now, he does have to fly coast to coast to do it, though. I mean, that, you know, it's a minor inconvenience for that kind of money, but it is part of his new schedule.
Right.
He's going to have to do, I think they're
going to say, but I can't imagine. You mean he's got to sleep on the private plane?
Yes.
While he goes
right.
back and forth?
That's correct.
I'm going to counter that with $10 million.
Oh, yeah. It's still worth it, for sure.
You think?
Thanks for the perspective.
No, but what I'm saying is it's a lot more difficult for him to be the host of American Idol now than
right?
it was when he lived in Los Angeles
but
where he did the show. That's all.
$10 million, I don't think you're understanding.
Yeah, still worth it, for sure.
Yeah.
Sit down.
I think someone wants you to sit down. Today's celebrity birthday is Jim Belushi, 63 years old today. Helen Hunt turns 54. Courtney Cox is 53. Ice, Mother Lovin' Cube, turns 48. Leah Remini's 47. Jake Busey, the actor, is 46. Neil Patrick Harris, 44 years old today. And our pal, Taylor Williamson.
Aww.
Taylor.
Comedian Taylor. Taylor Williamson.
Yeah. Second best Taylor in the world.
So. I'd like to punch him in the face.
No, we don't. We love Taylor. Celebrates his 31st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The world of AA minor league baseball has got to be tough.
Yeah.
Got to be tough to get to draw people out to the stadium to see those teams, right?
Yeah.
No stars, really?
Not I don't think even AAA.
Yeah. At least AAA, right? Every once in a while, you have a major league player who's rehabbing. You know what I mean?
You know, that's meaning, so sad.
So pathetic.
Meaning a pitcher who's been hurt or something and now is working his way back. At least you get a chance to go out and see a star. But if you're going to see the Montgomery Biscuits, if that's your evening, is to go see the Binghamton, New York Rumble Ponies, I mean, what are you getting out of that, right? So
they like the name Rumble Ponies.
Yeah. Rumble Ponies is pretty strong.
Pretty strong.
So they try to do promotions, and you hear about them from time to time to get people out to the ballpark. And here's an interesting one that's happening tonight. It's not too late for you to head on down to Jacksonville, Florida, and catch the Jumbo Shrimp, because they're playing tonight.
Right? If you want to catch a flight all the way to Florida today, you have time.
Well, let me hold off. What is it?
Well, they're playing against their dreaded rivals, the Pensacola Blue Wahoos.
Oh,
First pitch is at 7:05, and what they've come up with is a promotion called You Might Be the Father.
Oh.
You Might Be the Father. See, because...
And it's Maury Povich?
No, I'm not sure if he's going to be there or not. Oh. We'll find out because we have a representative from the team on the line here. But because Father's Day weekend is approaching, they thought the promotion would be that they hand out free pregnancy tests to anyone who wants them at tonight's game. With the price of admission... You get a free pregnancy test, and that way you can go home and you can find out if you're a father, and then you know whether you come back on Father's Day to celebrate.
And they have a Father's Day celebration on Sunday, and they
yes,
expect
they
you to attend as well.
That's the follow-up, exactly. Which I think is a brilliant idea, and I think the man on the phone is the guy we have to thank for it, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. He is the Harold Craw is on the line with us right now. Hey, Mr. Craw.
That's right. I am the Harold Craw.
The Harold Craw,
right.
Exactly.
So, how y'all doing?
Well, we're fine, sir. Thank you for joining us. Did I describe the promotion accurately, the You Might Be the Father promotion?
You got that spot on. Down here at the baseball grounds, we will be giving out a pregnancy test for anyone who asks for one. And you come on out, and we'll give you one. And then you might be the father.
Okay.
And then, of course, Father's Day is on Sunday, so it all ties in together. And also, don't forget, also, tonight is Thirsty Thursday.
Right.
Oh. On Thirsty Thursday, we've got discounted beers, 12 ounces just for $1, 24 ounces for $2.
By the way, that's a great deal.
That's a
great deal.
So come on down. Come on down to the baseball grounds of Jacksonville. See us take on the Blue Wahoos tonight. 7:05, first pitch.
I was guessing that it's tough to attract fans to double-A ball. Am I wrong about that, sir?
No, it's a challenge. I won't deny it's a challenge. We're averaging about 5,600 fans a game.
Okay.
That's about 1,500 more than last season. So,
congratulations.
So people are, I think they're catching on. They're getting the jumbo shrimp fire. Is what it's called.
Now, do you do a lot of promotions down there in Jacksonville?
Yeah, well, sure, yeah. Like you said, we got to get some attention somehow. So You Might Be Father's Day is one of our promotions. Okay. Also, later this summer, we're going to have the Love Bug promotion.
What's that?
Love Bug.
Yeah, you come on out, and we're going to test you for herpes.
Oh, wow.
That's seems... got that or not.
Okay.
Well, you should know.
Intimate.
You especially should... on Thirsty Thursday when people tend to get a little loose.
I mean, you should know. That's true. Lot.
You should know that before.
Sure. I agree.
We're going to have a free bat night later on in the year in this season.
Oh, the kids love the souvenir bats.
They do, absolutely. It's we got about 1,400 fruit bats we're going to release. Everybody gets a net.
No one.
You grab yourself one of the bats, you take it home.
I don't know anyone that loves those types of bats.
No, that's, you don't.
We
do
thought
that.
You meant a bat that you use in baseball.
Oh, no, we don't give those out no more. Not since the big bat fight of 2013.
Sure. Sorry about
much
that.
Much safer to give out live, even if they were rabid bats, it'd be safer than giving out the wood bats.
Wow.
Not in my neighborhood, no, sir.
All right.
We got the In the Dugout promotion.
Okay.
Where you get a prostate exam. You come on for the price of admission. We got a lot of proctologists standing by with latex gloves, and they'll just check you out in the dugout.
Okay, but that seems like that's not going to be a fun night. I don't feel like that's going to get a lot of people out to
look,
the game.
Look, who am I to judge? I don't care whether it's fun for you or not. Some people, I know guys, we did it last year, went back 3-4 times.
All right.
A lot of your promotions seem to involve people taking their pants down, I've noticed.
It is Florida. You gotta
okay,
keep
that's true.
Mind.
It is Florida. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got the 2 balls, 1 strike promotion.
I'm nervous about this.
That's what.
Okay.
Where we check you for testicular cancer.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, okay. What about the strike?
Well, we're trying to strike out cancer.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the switch hitter night. Switch hitter night's a big one, of course, down here at the park. That's for ambidextrous people.
Okay.
Who throw the ball with their left hand or their right hand?
That's right.
Oh.
A lot of people were disappointed by that. They were expecting bisexuality. Who can blame them?
Right.
Hey, Jillian Bell, I bet you've had a lot of really rough nights, huh?
That's so true.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're very excited to welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been too long, from Workaholics and Idiot Sitter and 22 Jump Street and, of course, the new Rough Night film opening up everywhere this weekend. It is the delightful Jillian Bell here.
Hello! Oh, I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
We've been very excited, especially since we found out that, and Allie in particular, is just bursting at the seams to get into this, but you guys share a mutual love, dare I say, a mutual obsession, Allie?
For me, it's an obsession.
What is it?
Dateline.
Okay, let's get into it. Keith Morrison Dateline?
Keith Morrison, Josh Mankiewicz Dateline.
Oh, wow.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I reached out to Josh Mankiewicz years ago on Twitter. We became friends.
No.
We have cocktails.
What?
Greatest guy. Do you want to come one time?
Absolutely.
I know. So much
Are
murder.
You kidding me?
It's the best.
Hey, Bean, we're not needed.
It seems like we can step out.
Yeah.
Honestly, it is my favorite. I watched it last night to fall asleep early.
Excellent.
It is soothing.
Absolutely.
Do you watch it to go to sleep?
I don't.
Okay.
I watch it constantly.
That's an odd show to watch to go to sleep.
Honestly, I don't know what it is. It, like, lulls me to sleep.
Is it Keith's voice?
It's Keith Morrison, yeah, specifically.
His voice is just butter.
He'll be like, it was a cold, dark night. And he's always so twisted and sort of enjoys the murder, which is amazing.
Allie enjoys the murder, too.
I
How
do,
about you,
so
Jillian?
Much.
Jillian, you're a fan of murder?
It's very weird to say you're a fan of murder, but I kind of am.
Yeah.
It's sick and disturbing, but I do enjoy Dateline. Oof.
Now Allie lives her life by the rules she's learned from Dateline. Mm-hmm. No hiking.
No cruises. Yeah.
Because murder.
And
because
don't,
murder, right.
And don't have a relationship. Don't get married.
No.
It's always the husband.
And if your stomach starts feeling weird after he's made you dinner, he's poisoning you.
He's definitely poisoned you.
Ladies, wake up.
Oh, my gosh.
Why is my drink this fluorescent green? I don't care.
Who gulp, are these gulp, people? Gulp. Dead.
Now, let me ask you this. As an actress, Jillian,
yes.
don't they do recreations of the events on Dateline
Well,
NBC?
Not so much.
No? There's no,
See,
there's no
if they
gig
did,
in it for you.
You're thinking of drunk history.
Drunk history.
Very different.
Because that would be so awesome if you could...
I feel like
show.
Unsolved Mysteries or something did that, which also is a very cool show, and I want to revisit that.
But
you wouldn't like it so much if you'd been on it like we had, by
right?
The way.
If you were featured on it like we were, you would not
Wait,
enjoy
you were
it.
Featured on Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah.
For
let me
what?
Just say, let me just say that at one point in our lives, Jillian, Robert Stack looked at the camera and said, Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
Need to say that that happened.
That happened.
That happened. And it was great. And those reruns, they come up every once in a while. We'll get a whole bunch of people saying, hey, I saw you on. What? I didn't even know that show was on anymore.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to look for that episode.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not. You don't need to
see. Well, that's sad. So no recreations.
No.
You can't be on it.
If that was a thing, I would be on all
of them. Do they have a studio audience?
I'd be a series regular.
Murder,
like,
murder,
yes!
There was a show, Jillian, that we were deeply invested in and in love with I think if the show hadn't been canceled, I think Kevin and Bean would have been able to do a recreation, and it was called 1,000 Ways to Die. Did you ever see that one?
Wait, what is that? That does sound familiar.
This was the stories of like a guy who falls into a giant vat of cooking oil and things like that, like terrible tragic
just
things,
bizarre deaths.
You get stuck in a freezer and you die that way. And I think we kind of became friends with the producers a little bit because they were on the show all the time, and we kind of talked them into letting us be, you know, recreate, get run over by a truck and stuff. But
then
the show got canceled. We never got to do it. So
it's weird to pitch yourself as I really want to die on your show.
Yeah. I really want to be a dead person.
That's a really weird pitch.
Have you ever been killed in any movie or TV show you've ever done, Jillian?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question.
Because it's got to be fun as an actor to get to play a death scene.
Before you were killed, was it a rough night?
Oh man, here's the question. They're making fun of me because I've done a ton of interviews. They're like, what have you been asked the most? And it's, what was the roughest night you've ever had? And I don't have a great answer.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't know if I've ever been dead in something. I've definitely had blood all over my body. We did an episode of Idiot Sitter where we had a whole like carry, a whole bucket of blood dumped on us.
Fun.
And I got to tell you, when that happens at 4 a.m. and you're standing there shivering in fake blood, you regret that you wrote that episode.
Oh,
yeah.
That you wrote yourself into that situation.
You only have you to blame.
Yeah, that's
wow.
it.
Wow. Not as glamorous as you thought, right?
No.
4 a.m., I'm freezing.
And again, I'm going to maybe ask you to reach back deep into your memory, and maybe that's unfair, but what is the situation you have found yourself in a movie or TV show that was the least likely for you to have ever been in? Like the craziest, like I can't believe I'm playing the first lady or whatever it is. Something that's so out of the norm of your regular life that you got to do.
Oh, I would probably say, two things came to mind. I'm going to give
Michelle
you both. When I was Michelle Obama,
that's odd.
One was for this movie, for Rough Night. I had to do a dance sequence, and that is the scariest thing I've ever had to do in my whole
life. Some of that's in the trailer, and it's
life. Awesome.
That's the scariest thing ever.
Yes. I cried 3 times the night before because I was like, I'm going to ruin this movie. I'm not a dancer.
Right.
I had my best friend come over at like 2 a.m. and help me like do the dance over and over again. And there was one part where she literally said, maybe don't do that. that part of the dance, because your body's actually not doing it. I know what you're supposed to do, but your body's not wiggling.
I can see that it's happening in your mind, but it's not
translating. But even as an actor who's, you know, you got to be a certain amount of a ham to be able to get up and do things in front of people and on stages and stuff. Even for you, dancing was a line that was difficult for you to cross because it's so hard.
I just didn't want anyone to think I was being serious, like that I thought I could do these moves very well. And I'm standing next to girls who can actually have rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
Alana, I actually would say, like, watch her during the dance because she's a good dancer. but of course, I have the brightest colored dress on.
Good.
So it is really pulling attention in that moment.
Did you keep trying to get positioned next to the next worst dancer?
I'm next to Zoe Kravitz and Scarlett Johansson.
That's
just
rude.
Cool. Man.
No woman wants to be in that position, by the way, next to those women.
Or
get up and go to the restroom if you see me planning a dance.
All right, so that was.
Are you kidding?
That was one.
That's the only time I
What was the second one?
Second one would probably be Eastbound and Down was a very different character for me. I was sort of playing an uptight woman against Danny McBride, whose character
Amazing.
Is just delicious.
Yeah.
I sort of was like this uppity woman and very against type for me.
You do seem like the least uptight person. person.
Yeah, I'm wearing right now a jacket that someone told me the other day. I thought it was a nice jacket, and someone's like, "You wore your pajamas," and I'm like, "Well, it's from Anthropology, and it's nice."
Jillian Bell is here. We have to take a very quick break here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The movie is called Rough Night. It opens up everywhere tomorrow, and it looks awesome. And we'll talk more with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
A lot of strange conversation about loving death.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, this room is even get into podcasts and
Are
you a murderino?
I would say I'm an early murderino. Okay. I'm getting into it. I'm diving.
Hey guys, we're on the air. And
Mommy Dead and Dearest. Is
that the voice? That's the new HBO show. Yes. Yeah, that's the voice of Jillian Bell here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to cut off what she's talking about now and talk about her new film, which is called Rough Night, in theaters everywhere tomorrow, with an unbelievable cast, by the way. Alana Glazer, you mentioned, Kate McKinnon, your good friend, Zoe Kravitz, Scarlett Johansson. Demi Moore is in this movie.
That's what he said.
They were searching for the right people because it's such a fun cameo for Ty Burrell and Demi Moore and to play these sexy neighbors. And we were dying to hear who they got. And then they were like, "We got Demi Moore." And we were like, "What?"
That's amazing. She's vanished from show business, I feel like.
I mean, she's around. She's around. But I'm telling you, she kills it in this movie. So does Ty Burrell. And I gave her the weirdest compliment when I met her. And I think she was like, "Thank you." I had just broken up with my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I was like, for a week, I did nothing but puzzles. I sound like a crazy person. But puzzles. And I watched A Few Good Men over and over again. Because there's no romantic storyline in that film.
Right.
And it's a great movie. And it sort of takes your mind off of things.
How many
times
would you say you watched that movie?
I mean, I probably watched it if 5 or 6 times.
Wow.
So that's legitimate.
Now,
that's
when you told her this, could she handle the truth?
Oh, you go straight to hell.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
No, kids. Kids do not love that.
she somewhat could handle the truth. I think she was a little
weirded
out.
But she probably is used to people coming up and just fangirling out over her over some movie. Like, I'm sure she hears about that from so many things that she's done in the past.
Probably. You should fangirl over her. Yeah.
Did you know the freaky thing about her front teeth being missing at the time you guys were working together?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Yes. Yep.
She went on the Tonight Show a couple of nights ago and revealed that she lost her 2 front teeth. And what was her story, Allie? What was her explanation? It made no sense to any of us.
It made no sense, but she said it was due to stress. So we don't know if she was grinding it, that type of thing.
So she can take out her 2 front teeth, and her kids love it.
Wow.
Yeah. Right? That's sort of strange.
Yeah.
You never knew that.
If I could do that.
Right?
If I could pull a Demi.
Right?
I would do that at every party.
Same.
I would constantly
pull
out.
You take a bite of food, and then you go, my God.
No.
I'm suing.
Yeah. I would freak everyone out.
Jillian, are you missing any body parts?
That's
a great question.
Oh, my gosh. No, I don't.
You have
think
all your
I
digits?
Am. I just took a small little chunk out of my ear this week because Lana and I had a break, and we went and got our second ears, ear hole pierced together.
Excellent.
As, a bonding thing.
Aww.
It was very cute.
That's sweet.
Speaking of Alana. True or false? I can't imagine this is true.
Okay.
But did you, on the set of Rough Night, smoke pot for the first time ever?
That is true.
Really?
But not, well, also false, because not on the set.
but for the movie, though, right? Not for the movie.
Not for the movie at all.
Oh, okay.
For personal
I would have thought after Workaholics that there's not a day that has gone by that you haven't smoked.
That is the funniest part of this. I mean, I've been on Workaholics since the get-go. I have done a movie with Seth Rogen. I have every chance to smoke weed.
And the best weed.
And I was like...
Was it an active decision to
Yes,
that?
It was.
Why?
I was going through a little personal stress, and I was like, you know what? I want to try something, do something bold. And I asked Alana, I said, "Do you think you could hook me up with some marijuana?" And she was kind enough to do so. And I set like a whole day aside on the weekend and tried it. And
that's amazing.
That's pretty sweet.
It was very funny. And then I came home and I told my mom because I was
Why?
Is that Catholic guilt kicking in?
Yep.
Yeah.
Raised Catholic.
Mom, I gotta tell you. I spent all yesterday on hi.
I took her out on a date and I said, "I have something to tell you."
What was her response?
Well, she was like, "I'm so glad you said, you know, it was just you smoked a little weed."
She thought much worse.
Yeah, when you're like, "I have something to tell you,"
right.
And I don't know how you're gonna react.
How was it compared to what you were expecting it to be like?
Way better.
Oh, good. Well, Alana's got the good stuff. Though,
I mean,
right?
She probably gave me some, you know, something a little mellow, something. She hooked it up.
So now it's an everyday thing?
Now it's every single. Okay. No, I'm it's not an everyday thing, but every once in a while.
Are you high right now?
Yeah, okay. I would say. All right. Yeah. I don't know how I got here, and I don't know who you are.
Well, congratulations on that breakthrough, though.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Let's talk for a second about Scarlett Johansson, because I'm so impressed. Great. By her, because for the longest time it seemed like she was just supermodel, and then all of a sudden she's action star.
I know.
And she does comedy.
She does it all.
I mean,
and she
that's
sings.
Amazing to me that she's actually made those different transformations in her own life.
She can do anything. She's sort of it's her and Channing Tatum. That's it.
They annoy everyone else because they can do everything?
Because they're so perfect. Yeah. I mean, she literally looks like a gorgeous alien. I mean, I'm like, you're from another planet, ma'am. she's stunning. She's the most down-to-earth girl.
She doesn't know she's that beautiful? Because that's sweet about people.
If that's One Direction.
I feel like she's a confident gal. She knows what she's got, but mm-hmm. she's not, you know, cocky about it. And she's just so funny and smart and... everything. I'm a little bit obsessed with her. I very much enjoy her.
Understandable. Now, there have been a lot of movies about crazy bachelor parties and bachelorette parties, so you got to have something special to put that back up on the screen. I bet they spent a long time coming up with this, right?
Yeah, I think they did. They were very careful about, you know, what situations they get in, but specifically taking it from a female perspective and just saying, you know, how would women take care of this? Because we've sort of seen it from the other side, from
yeah,
men.
Yeah, we've had to bury a lot of dead hookers in the movies.
Yeah, tons. So it's sort of funny to see, like, women cleaning up and, like, you know, what they, you know, how they dispose of a body. It's sort of hysterical, and they did a great job with the film. We were laughing so hard. I saw it at the premiere for the first time officially, and it
was
pretty funny.
Is that sort of nerve-wracking?
Yes,
at the premiere.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrifying.
And did people laugh where they weren't supposed to, or not laugh where they were supposed to?
Thank God they all laughed.
They all laughed
at the right
time. Right, you didn't have to stand up and go, "Come on, people, that was funny." No.
No, everyone laughed at the right places, which was good.
This looks great. I can't wait to see it.
It's really fun.
I'm going to get super high and see it.
Woo!
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. The film is called Rough Night in theaters everywhere tomorrow. It does look awesome. And you are rolling out right now. Idiot Sitter, right, is back on, back on County Central,
yes.
too, right?
Last Saturday we aired 4 episodes. We're sort of doing a binge thing this season.
Okay.
And then this Saturday, we're airing the last 3. And the final episode is one of my favorites. So
fantastic.
Stay tuned.
Well, it's great to see you again, Jillian.
Thank you.
And I hope that you will take Allie up on drinks with Josh Mankiewicz.
Absolutely.
Because that sounds like a thing.
I have to.
You need to do.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Okay.
Come see us anytime.
Okay, thank you. 106.7
K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
What about the super secret guest?
Yep. Is that 20 minutes.
Who is it?
Maybe 25 minutes. Can't
Tell
say.
Us.
Can't say.
Rob is here now with the Showbiz Beat. Then Jim Rome talks sports. So much going on in sports. And then the mystery guest coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
There's still a chance it's Pauly Shore, right? I can still
we're not
I can
allowed
choose
to confirm
to
that.
Believe.
Yeah.
So it could be. It could be Pauly.
We can't deny.
The weasel.
I cannot answer that question
could be
here
the weasel.
In an open setting. I'm sorry.
Is he still the weasel? Does he do
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the weasel.
Oh, no. No. That, no.
It's all coming up on K-Rock. First, here's Ralph with the show.
The way.
Okay.
The yep. Allie.
I got it.
Allie that McKay.
I hate it.
He was on the midnight, at midnight the other night. I was like, are you kidding me?
First of all, he's still alive.
That's what I was shocked to find out. There he was.
Remember
it
the
up.
Documentary they made? Pauly Shore is dead, remember?
I don't either. But I believe that would be
sad.
Made. That makes sense to me. First and foremost, I need to wish everyone a very happy Lobster Day. Happy National Lobster Day, everyone. My belly is so full of lobster right now.
What?
I can barely move.
What?
Oh, you didn't get your lobster grilled cheese sandwich that we're eating in the
what?
Other room?
lobster and grilled cheese.
Oh, it's a lobster grilled cheese sandwich.
Chip, you can't leave now.
Chip's out of here.
Chip, you got to get one. Chip, it's bigger than you, so get some help carrying it. It is from our friends at the L.A. Cafe downtown. They brought in a basket of lobster grilled cheese sandwiches.
Hey, thanks for the heads up, man.
And it is... it's orgasmic.
Oh.
So all it can only be described as that. It's pretty all amazing. Right. So anyway, L.A. Cafe, they're our pals. They have a restaurant down there on between 6th and 7th on Spring Street downtown. You may have seen their L.A. Cafe delivery cars. They're all over downtown. They're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And their food's amazing. So I want to thank them for dropping those sandwiches off because they're un-freaking believable.
So, Ralph, what you're telling me is that you were in there eating that sandwich. With
lobster grilled cheese sandwich, yes.
And we were in here measuring our heads to see who had a bigger head.
That happened.
So that was going on.
So
I think I win.
You
totally
think you
win.
Do.
I think Chip's winning right now, by the way.
She's eating it right in front of me.
Right in front of
wow,
me.
Wow, what a dick.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Allie has the biggest head, by the way.
Disturbing.
Really?
Yeah, it was bigger than Jillian's and Kevin's. Yeah, by an inch.
And then we think Dave may have.
Dave won it all, but I mean, look at him.
Right.
Right.
What does that mean? Look at him.
He's got a big noggin. Like that's not a question. He has a huge noggin. When you look at me, you don't think that's an extremely large head. Mm. Really? Okay.
A little bit, Cookie.
All right. I stand corrected.
No one has bothered to measure my head. Can I play?
You
I
mean, absolutely
you
can.
Can, but
you were busy
big.
Eating lobster grilled cheese.
Head.
You were doing so much better
I was doing
in the
so
other
much
room.
Better. Yeah, absolutely. This Scott Disick has to be ended, right?
He's still alive?
We have to end him somehow. Bella Thorne. You familiar with the beautiful young actress, singer Bella Thorne? She was dating him for a second.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, she's 19. He's 34. Which is already creepy in and of itself. But then you add the fact that Scott Disick makes it twice as creepy. But she did an interview with Complex Magazine saying that Kourtney Kardashian's baby daddy was really nice and sweet and charming, but he really drinks a lot, she said. And that was the downfall of their relationship. Way too much for me, she said. That's not the way I like to live my life. If you're drinking so much that you're driving hot 19-year-olds away from you...
Yeah, that's the wrong
stop
move.
Stop drinking!
Yep.
That would be the one thing that would drive me into rehab. Nothing else. Nothing else. Lose all the money, the cars, the house, whatever. Once
that's
the hot 19-year-olds start walking away, that is rock bottom right there. That's when you got to make up your mind to get some help. Madness. Speaking of disgusting people, see this Austin Jones thing? You know who this guy is from YouTube?
That's a
this
terrible
piece
story.
Of garbage. 24 years old, this singer on YouTube, became one of those YouTube stars. He's in federal custody right now after he got busted for child pornography charges.
Oh, man.
This piece of garbage, who became a star on YouTube, so he knew already he had access to underage girls, was requesting sexually explicit videos from girls, they said roughly age 13, 14 years old, to be sent to him. And he instructed them to do so through Facebook and other social media aspects like iMessage and stuff like that.
Yeah, he turned it into a contest. Like, who's my biggest fan? Prove
right,
it.
Right. Show me videos of you doing various sexual things. And,
wow.
Initially, he tried to go out with a statement saying, I was just asking people to twerk. I just wanted people to twerk. And then they did some research and they found all this stuff. And now he is in federal custody. And I hope he disappears. Hope they find a special kind of hole for him and then just throw him in and cover it up because he is a unique piece of garbage. Better news. Netflix has had another season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. They just announced another season.
All right.
So you get to see that. I don't know if you guys are watching or not, but Ellie Kemper plays the titular character and she is terrific in that role and in that show. And the upcoming guest stars for season 3, they've announced as well. Josh Charles, Ray Liotta, Maya Rudolph, Laura Dern, and John Hamm will all be stopping by. So.
Have you guys seen Ray Liotta lately?
I watch him every week on Shades of Blue.
A lot of Botox.
I thought you did too, Kevin.
A lot of Botox.
A lot of Botox.
Really?
A lot of Botox. I saw him on a talk show where he was trying to laugh, and his face wouldn't cooperate.
Oh.
It was really shocking.
He doesn't look Botoxed at all on Shades of Blue. He looks like a He looks practically like Steve Bannon.
Yeah, he's got very, like, pocky skin, right? Like, I'll call it rugged.
Just to be nice.
He is known for his pocked skin. Yes, yeah. Yes, Allie.
Doesn't move now, though.
Interesting.
Pretty stuck.
Huh.
Incredibly not moving.
Okay, we got
all right.
Not a lot of movement.
Back to you.
All right. Tonight, 9 p.m. downtown. Speaking of downtown, I'm going to go to L.A. Cafe and get another one of those damn sandwiches before this happens. Spring Street, 200 North Spring Street, Los Angeles City Hall. The mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, and the police chief, Charlie Beck, along with some other guests, are going to be doing a special tribute and honor to our fallen friend Adam West, which I think is pretty awesome. They are going to celebrate by projecting the bat signal onto the tower of Los Angeles City Hall at 9 p.m. tonight. And there's going to be some folks are going to say some words, and we're going to have a nice tribute tonight at 9 p.m. on the Spring Street steps of Los Angeles City Hall. People are going to get there probably around 7:30, 8 o'clock. But I'll be down there if you want to come out and join us. I think it's going to be a really nice, touching tribute to the passing of Adam West. So.
What a lovely thing to do.
It really is, and very creative and sort of, you know.
Sort of very not government-like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice that the city is doing this. And I have to admit, I'm trying to put only positive spins on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when someone passes and people go out of their way to say nice things and do nice things for them, it's a nice thing. But I remember how hard we have to fight with the city of Hollywood to get a star for him on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, that was a long battle.
Years it took us to get them to see the light. And now they're doing this out of the kindness of their hearts. And it's a great event, and I'm really glad it's happening. But I think he would have appreciated if he had been around to see it. So we will enjoy paying tribute to him tonight at 9 p.m.
Took them a long time to realize what we all knew, which is that the man was a goddamn national treasure.
Yeah, and I think that's just the nature of the business, you know. I think sometimes it takes time to pass before people recognize somebody's work. So, again, not being bitter, but regardless, either way, it is a hell of a tribute, and it's going to be a very cool thing tonight. Not a lot of people get a send-off like that from the city.
Yeah.
So, it's nice. Today's celebrity birthday is Jim Belushi, 63 years old today. Helen Hunt is 54. Courtney Cox is 53. Ice Cube turns 48. Leah Remini is 47. Look out, Leah! Just trying to keep her sharp. Because I know somebody's following her in someplace.
Right?
Jake Busey is 46. Neil Patrick Harris is 44. And our pal Taylor Williamson.
Taylor.
Hi, guys.
He is not a dick at all. He's the nicest guy in the world.
Why
you say that,
Kevin?
Bean?
Love Taylor. 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Our mystery guest at 8:20 this morning. You're not going to want to miss it. It's all coming up at K-Rock. Jim Rome's on the line right now. Of course, our weekly visit every week at this time. We catch up with Jim Rome. The Daily Jungle is the podcast available on his website, jimrome.com, or play.it on iTunes. You can hear the show live at the website from 9 till noon. How are you, sir?
Guys, I had this thing called a Decca Yeah. On Friday, I bust out with Yeah, 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 Yeah. So,
It's Thursday.
Not for me. It's not. I'm not working tomorrow.
What?
Rubbing it in.
Oh, man.
Now, listen, I'm glad we got you.
Everybody.
I'm glad we got you because for all the bitching and moaning I've heard around K-Rock here about how, oh, what are we going to – there's no sports now. Basketball is over. Oh, hockey's over. What are we going to do? There's so much sports today we're barely going to have time to include it all, Jim. There's so much great stuff going on.
What are you guys crying about? You guys have like 3 minutes a week for sports. I have 3 hours a day.
If anyone's
going to cry about that, it's me. No, there's lots going on. What do you say we start with Connor v. Floyd?
Please.
It's a real thing. It's happening. But let's go ahead and be real about this real thing. The promotion's going to be one of the greatest things ever. It started with Connor announcing the fight on Twitter, posting a picture of himself and Floyd Sr., right?
Hilarious.
At last check, it had 215,000 retweets. Unfortunately, that tweet might be better than the fight itself. So know that going in, know what you're signing up for, and what you're signing up for is a fight between one of the greatest boxers ever and a guy who's never once boxed. Some of the greatest boxers of the generation were not able to touch Floyd, but a guy who's never even boxed is going to. Yeah, I doubt that. I don't think so.
This is why I hate Floyd, though, is because he just is such a defensive fighter. He just avoids fighting and then throws a counterpunch. And I can't stand him, and that makes me want to buy the fight, but I know it's a bad move.
See, this is the thing. And to me, I don't care about any of that because know what it is when you go in. And the reason I'm into this, it's not going to be a competitive fight. It's not going to be a good fight, but it's going to be an event. It's going to be a spectacle. It's different. And to your point, what the hell else are we going to do or talk about in the dead of summer? Didn't you love the circus as a kid? This is the adult version of Lobster Boy and the Bearded Lady. I know what it is. My eyes are wide open, man. Bring it on. And on the off chance that Connor somehow lands that one big shot and puts Floyd to sleep, look the hell out.
If that happens and I'm not watching, then I'm really upset.
Exactly.
I have to spend money on this.
Yeah, this is the thing. You don't want to be the one guy in the world who didn't watch, the one guy in the world who missed it. And can I tell you about Connor? Even if he can't win, he also can't lose. For the amount of money this guy's going to make, he's already won.
Yeah.
And the fact that he talked himself into that fight, regardless of what happens, is utterly brilliant. So for everybody who says, I'm not doing it, trust me, you will. you should.
It's a spectacle, but let's not confuse it with sports. It's not sports, right?
Not really.
What are you talking about?
Not
really.
Anytime two guys stand in front of each other.
WrestleMania is what it is.
Well, anytime two guys stand in front of each other and try to punch each other in the face, that's a sport. But the problem is they're playing two different sports. Two totally different sports. Not like two different disciplines of combat sports. This is like basketball and football, baseball and golf. Two totally different sports.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing that people will try to argue when they try to make it be a mystery as to who will win is they go, well, Floyd is 40, Conor McGregor is 28 in the peak physical condition of his life. But when it comes to boxing, that really doesn't matter in this case.
Can I tell you, both sides are going to try and make that argument, and there's a million of those things. Like, he's 40, he hasn't fought in nearly 2 years, and Conor's 27, and when Conor hits guys, they go down. I mean, both sides are going to try and make that argument, and the two sides trying to make that argument, trust me, they don't buy it. They don't believe it. They know it's not the case. They're both going to make a whole lot of money, and that's why that thing's happening.
When you saw Conor McGregor knock out Jose Aldo, though, that was shocking. And I think that's in your mind when you start thinking about this. Maybe he can catch him. Maybe he can.
Yeah, maybe he can, except that Aldo ran right into that shot, right across the cage, and Conor was in his head. I mean, the thing about Floyd is he's kind of boring to watch because he's so good. The best boxers ever can't hit this guy, so how's a guy who's never once boxed going to hit this guy? But there's always that shot. Maybe.
Yep, we're going to run out of time if we don't get right to the Clippers. There's a lot of excitement, if you're a Clippers fan right now, about some of the news that's come out this week. Jim, what's going on?
All right, bottom line, they had literally one of their best days ever. I mean, they might be getting themselves a brand new crib, and weird as it sounds, it looks like they just hired the ultimate Laker, Jerry West, to come in as a consultant. So that's a damn good day for them. In terms of that crib, they have a exclusive negotiating period with the city of Inglewood, so they might get that crib right near that new football stadium that's being built, and they get Jerry West, who is the logo and identified with the Lakers. And to me, that's a good thing, because if he can just talk Chris Paul into staying and not leaving, he's worth whatever they're going to pay him. So a very good day for them.
Help me understand what's in it for Jerry West. He's with the Warriors now in this advisory position and has been for a number of years. They're the best basketball team ever. Why leave them?
I think it's a fair question, and I don't know exactly what the answer to that is. Maybe, you know, he's an LA guy through and through. Maybe he's not into the travel. Maybe he wants a new challenge. Maybe, and this is just speculation on my part, yeah, I mean, you got to think that the ultimate Laker probably wanted to go back and work for the Lakers. The opportunity wasn't there, so he'll just go across the street and he'll jam them by working for the Clippers. I mean, that's a weird deal, but guys, it's really important. If you're a Clipper fan, knowing that Ballmer is going to get what he wants, including Jerry West, you got to be as fired up as Ballmer at a Microsoft event. Get up! That got work in the stage. That's Ballmer at a Microsoft event. That was Clipper fan after finding out that Jerry West is coming, and they no longer have to squat in the Lakers' crib.
We were talking about this earlier, Jim, off the air, and Kevin brought up, I thought, a really good point, which is if you know Jerry West is now in the Clippers organization and you're LeBron James, does that make you now more than ever start thinking maybe the Clippers are worth looking at?
In a word to Kevin, no.
No.
Really?
Just Just kidding, y'all. You're so sensitive.
Today is Jim's Friday.
This is my Friday, man. I got one foot out the door. One foot in the gutter and one foot out the door. No, yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. I think that most of all, it gives them a shot to keep the free agents they have. I mean, that LeBron thing's a whole different conversation, but that Chris Paul thing is real.
Yeah.
And if he's going to San Antonio or thinking about it, hopefully Jerry West sits him down and says, hey, look, that's not the way to go. That grass is not going to be greener there. You're right where you need to be.
Okay.
And what about Kevin Durant coming?
Oh, hey, Allie, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Jim?
What about him? Coming where? Going where? He's not going anywhere.
What if he did to the Clippers?
And what if pigs could fly?
What if they could, Jim? Wouldn't that be the best day?
What if I was 7 feet tall and I could run in the NBA and be rich, Allie?
Listen, what if Kevin Durant comes and then you're all going to look like suckers? Just saying.
Allie, your hot take. You're all going to look like suckers.
All right. In our final minute, I know we've all seen it and we're all in love with it, but for our listeners who have it, let's talk about the Foot Locker ad.
Come on, Allie.
Come on.
You gave this a big thumbs up, right, Jim?
I love you, Jim.
All right, come on, Allie.
I wish you guys could keep talking over each other. This is great.
Isn't that good radio?
Why don't you ruin your own show for a change, Jim?
I'll get there. I do that every single day, bro. I'll get there. Give me enough time. Really quickly. So, Lonzo, there's this thought that the Lakers may have concerns about Lonzo's jumper or his defense or his out-of-control dad. I had the same thoughts until I saw this brilliant Foot Locker commercial drop. In case you missed this, they got a bunch of guys who are going to the draft right before Father's Day talking up their pops.
Foot Locker asked us to reflect on everything dads do for us.
Waking up early to drive to all those faraway tournaments.
All those games of one-on-one in the driveway where he'd let me win.
Just never missing a game.
Getting kind of dusty up in here, right?
Right.
Then Lonzo shows up and roasts LeVar.
Of course there's that big day when your dad berates your high school coach in front of an entire crowd for not getting you enough touches. When your dad sits you down and tells you where you're going to college. Copyrights your name to make it a part of a family lifestyle brand. Went on First Take and shouted back and forth with Stephen A. Smith about how you're already better than the reigning league MVP. The public spats with the all-time great soundbite after soundbite to the national media. And then tells 29 out of 30 teams to not bother drafting you.
Happy Father's Day, old man.
He gets it.
So good.
I love that Lonzo gets it.
So good and so deserved.
Yep, it's awesome.
Exactly. He gets it. So bottom line, I'm going to go out and buy a pair of those $500 Big Bar brand kicks now. Screw it. I'm going to get a pair for the entire family. I'll throw down for those $200 shower slides, too. They have to take this guy because after seeing that, I think his dad's right. He's better than LeBron. Better than Kevin Durant, too, Allie. Better than all of them
put together.
That's
insane.
Stop it.
JimRome.com. Hear the show from 9 till noon today in the podcast, the Jim Rome Daily Jungle, wherever you get your podcast. Jim, enjoy your long weekend. We'll talk to you next time, my friend.
You know I will. Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
Is it time?
Is the Mr. Guest on the phone?
Yes.
Hit it, Steve. Josh Homme on the phone here on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
Fantastic. You look amazing.
You look great, too. Seriously, is that a new sweater?
Yeah, you look rejuvenated.
Josh, welcome the F back, my friend. It's been way too long.
Well, thank you, the F, for having me. I don't think I used that right, actually.
It worked.
It worked, yeah. We talk about this all the time here on the show, and I'm sure you feel it sometimes, that there's not nearly enough rock music. And when there is, when bands we love come back and they blow us away with new songs, it's like Christmas. We're just so happy to have new Queens of the Stone Age on K-Rock. I can't tell you how grateful we are.
Well, you know, ho, ho, ho.
Well, we are going to play the song for the first time ever coming up in just a minute. It's called The Way You Used to Do, New Queens of the Stone Age, this morning here on the Kevin Amede Show. But let's get some deep background. Let's get into it. Let's find out where you guys are, what's happening. You've had a busy couple of years. It's the new album's done and ready, and you're psyched.
Yeah, that's great. I got to go. You know, I love this part of it, the quiet before the storm, I got to say, like this part, because, you know, you guys know me, I'm a mystery man.
Sure.
I like to jump out of the darkness and scream boo at a room full of children.
Sure.
Yeah, I like this moment where everything's unrolling and we're kind of flinging these, you know, trailers, little movie trailers out, you know.
You put up a little one yesterday that announced sort of the name of the album and stuff like that, and that's kind of fun. But I also read in an interview you were saying that you were so happy making this album was over because it was really difficult.
Well, I don't know what it is. I used to think, well, we're making an album. We're making something, bringing something into the world that did not exist before. And now I just feel like I'm mining a chunk out of myself. I don't know why that is.
Does it get harder the longer you're in it because you have already done and said so many things? You're just so cautious about not repeating yourself? Is that part of it?
I think that's it. It's a bit like juggling while standing on a Jenga tower that you made, you know. But my old man is always like, you know, as you're doing the same job, if it isn't getting easier as you're going, you're doing it wrong, you know. And so I just said, well, shut up, Dad.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I also believe that the more you protect yourself, the worse it gets. And so the more vulnerable you are, the better the music is. And I think sometimes that's hard, too, because, you know, it's like doing your one-man Othello naked, you know, at the old folks' home and expecting applause. You know?
Go on.
Go on.
I'm listening.
Encore.
I have never heard anyone compare an album to, quote, a panther in the trees leaping out of the darkness.
I just said that because that guy was a ding-dong, and he was like, you know, he was like, so what's it feel like? And then he was being so dramatic. I said, well, it's like what he didn't put is that I put in his driveway.
At him.
I said, it's like being a panther in your driveway and leaping out of the darkness right as you're getting into your Honda.
I love it. This is the voice of our friend Josh Homme here on the Kevin Beach. We're about to hear brand new Queens of the Stone Age on K-Rock in just a minute. We're so excited to play this for you because it's awesome. Josh, when we talked about, you know, it's harder the longer you do it, the more records you make. You're quite a few albums deep into this career. Is that part of why you bring in a producer, a guy like Mark Ronson, that maybe hasn't worked with Queens before, to kind of give you some fresh ears, some new eyes?
Maybe so. Even though it's more difficult, I love the process of making a record the most. It's where you actualize the sounds in your head, and it's where I feel like chasing brake lights and dust my whole life, you know, and it's where you almost feel you catch up to this thing, you know, finally. And it's fun to share it with. And Ronson is really funny. He's very articulate. He's very honest. And he kind of keeps things on task, too. You know, the whip only cracks at one end. And so he sort of kept it moving. And you know, you really agree to go kind of spelunking together. You know, you rappel down into this cavern and try to find something. And I really do look at it as more of like picking the right partner that you enjoy their company, mm-hmm. so that when you run into trouble, you can sort of laugh and say, whatever, you know, it's sure there's only enough oxygen for 20 minutes left. You know?
Right. The album is called Villains. It is due out on August 25th. You do have a few dates kind of already on the calendar, not so much with the America yet so far, though, right?
Oh, there's going to be we're going to be, you know, playing at Kevin's house.
All right.
Nice.
That's good news, Kevin.
You're going to announce a bunch coming up, I imagine. You
know, litter dates all over the place. Like,
okay, cool. Well, listen, let's get into this new song called The Way You Used to Do. Josh, you can be guest DJ on K-Rock here and introduce it for the first time.
15 after 28 in the hour. This is Joshua Homme coming at you cordless from Queens of the Stone Age. It's the new hit song, The Way You Used to Do.
Like the way you used to do.
That is The Way You Used to Do on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Queens of the Stone Age is the band. Josh Homme is on the phone. That is so great, Josh.
The new hit song.
The new hit song.
It's the first, I don't know how it hits people the first time they hear it. I'm sure you've been playing it for friends and folks around you, but I thought funky when I heard that thing as it kicks in. It is funky, Josh.
Well, you know, I think it stems from, I got short people in my house. I got three of them. And so my wife and I was figuring out how to not have it be a grumpy environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured out that Cab Calloway and Dean Martin are the keys to not being grumpy in the morning. If you can be grumpy to Mambo Italiano, frankly, you're going to have problems that are way too big for me today.
Okay. There's a lot of good advice being dropped in this interview today. We're hearing about panthers and Dean Martin and spelunking. I mean, this is crazy.
Panthers, so let's not even focus on that. I think that kind of seeped into everything, you know?
Do the kids like your kind of music?
Of course, they love
Queens
it.
Music.
Great taste. They love that.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
His kids are awesome. Bean, come on.
Don't be ridiculous.
That again is called
the question. I'd next.
The way you used to do, it's been long awaited. It is finally here. Queens of the Stone Age, their brand new music. Again, the album is called Villains. It's due everywhere on August the 25th, produced by Mark Ronson. Josh, we love you. We always have. We always will. Please come see us anytime you can, man. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you. I love talking to you guys, too. Have a great day.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Queens of the Stone Age.
Yes.
Brand new song. Love that
song.
Good
to have them back.
It's a world famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 9.
Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit coming up just after 9, and also another chance for you to win tickets to go see Incubus and Jimmy Eat World, not only at the Hollywood Bowl, but in Seattle as well. It's K-Rock Road Trip 2017, destination number 2. Kevin, your man Bob Dylan back in the news.
He's my man, is he?
You love Bob Dylan. You're the only, in fact, you may be the only person I know who doesn't love Bob Dylan.
I don't.
So I, really?
No.
What is wrong
with
you,
too? I find his voice extremely annoying. I can't.
His voice is super annoying. Yeah.
Come on, Cookie. Get on the thing here, whatever you get on.
I'm sorry?
Like a baking sheet?
Here's the thing about Bob Dylan.
He was asking you to get on the plate.
I was going to say plane, and then I was going to say train, and then I just decided not to say it.
All right.
He won the Nobel Prize for Literature last year. And one of the things that you have to do when you win the prize is you have to give a talk, give a little speech. And he did that recently.
Didn't he, though? Wasn't he not going to do that for a long time?
Well,
or they couldn't reach him, or what was it?
He didn't say that. He just didn't say anything. He just essentially ignored it.
Okay.
And people were like, hey, way to show gratitude. So eventually he did make it to Sweden, and eventually he did do his Nobel Prize lecture. And he talked about the influence of great works of literature on his songwriting over the years. And one of the books that he quoted liberally from was the classic Moby Dick by the famous author who, Kevin?
Herman Melville.
Oh, my God.
What just happened?
He was juicing this morning. He was having more coffee.
He must have been juicing. All right. And a lot of people pointed out, boy, Bob sure seems to be familiar with a lot of passages from that book that sound exactly like they came out of the SparkNotes version of that book and not necessarily out of the real book itself. Like word for word comments that were made. You know, this is like Cliff Notes, SparkNotes, those student aids where you, so you don't have to read the book. You can just read the short version.
Yeah.
And a lot of people kind of accused him of plagiarism in his Nobel Prize speech, saying that he was ripping off the comments of the people who wrote the Sparks notebook about Moby Dick. That's not a good look, is it?
No.
I mean, I don't think so.
You don't want to do that?
He's your guy, Bean. We don't know.
He is my guy. So we wanted to find out more about it. Maybe it's just a big misunderstanding. I'm not sure. The great Nobel Prize winner Bob Dylan joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
How's it going today?
Good. How you doing?
Very good. Thank
you. Well, congratulations once again on your Nobel Prize. That's a tremendous honor.
Yeah, it is. Can't believe a Nobel Prize winner. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. So this speech, the controversy about this speech, those suggesting that maybe you didn't take it from the book, but from the book about the book. What do you have to say about that?
Well, like I've always said, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, when things are going well, people tend against you. So.
That's Charles Dickens, though. You didn't say that. That's something you always say.
I always say, to be or not to be. That is the question.
Shakespeare?
And so I have to ask myself, am I going to just be myself?
But, Bob, you're so famous for your words, you don't have to steal anybody else's. You have a brilliant mind and a great vocabulary, and you know how to turn a phrase. Why rip off other people's stuff?
Well, like I said years ago, sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. So I have to decide what I'm going to say when I say.
Right.
Because I always said, just do it.
That's a Nike slogan, though.
There's going to be something. And when it absolutely, positively has to be there overnight.
You're just quoting commercials.
You can count on me to deliver. That's what I like to say. Because like a good neighbor, Bob Dylan's there.
Okay, but why don't you just say what you have to say without saying what somebody else already said?
I like to taste the rainbow. And
that's Skittles.
I like to be all I can be.
That's the Army.
Like I always said, the ultimate driving machine.
BMW.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
I mean, anything in your own words.
Well, I'm melting your mouth, not in your hand.
Oh.
So it's important to be the quicker picker-upper.
That's M&M's and then Bounty Bob.
They're great.
Tony Frosted the Tiger.
Flakes.
And Bob Dylan, it gives you wings.
That's Red Bull.
Got milk?
That's milk? Are you just saying things now, Bob?
I'm loving it.
Okay, McDonald's, you're not even trying.
Can you hear me now?
So Ralph was out yesterday, and Allie did the showbiz beat. And Ralph, I thought you might enjoy this moment with me.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
I'm Allie.
That was a moment with Kevin.
He wasn't looking at me, to be fair.
I was looking right at her.
Straight at me.
Yeah.
And you had just identified yourself with your name.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
As he was looking at you.
But she used your name after hers, so I got confused, apparently.
Because people just say words?
I don't know.
And I hadn't shaved.
I mean, I don't know.
What the wrong?
Right?
I mean.
Ralph, it's airtime for a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I want to invite folks to come out tonight to a very special tribute as we honor Adam West. Beloved pop culture icon, Batman, Mayor of Quahog on Family Guy, and a friend of not only the Kevin and Bean Show, but myself. We're doing a special ceremony tonight, which is, I can't remember anything like it, really, quite frankly.
Same.
It is.
This is unique.
It's involving the whole city. Mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, along with Police Chief Charlie Beck, are going to pay tribute to the classic TV Batman by lighting the iconic bat signal, and it's going to be projected onto the tower of City Hall at Spring Street. So we're inviting all the Bat fans down to be part of this ceremony. It's going to happen on the Spring Street steps at 200 North Spring Street, downtown Los Angeles City Hall. And everyone's getting there around 7:30, 8 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, we're actually going to do the Bat Signal ceremony. So if you're a fan of Adams, you're a fan of Batman, you want to come down and be part of this as we pay tribute to Adam, as they'll be lost last week, love to have you come out. I'm going to be saying a couple words, and it's going to be a lot of people down there. We're going to have a good time. So, celebrate the man's life. Yeah, it's going to be very cool. You can find out more information. I put it on Twitter. We've got also on K-Rock and Kevin and Bean as well. So, come on out and join us.
Our beloved listener Edwin wrote in, not making a joke, but in all seriousness, they need to do this in New York City too. Shouldn't Gotham also honor Adam West this way?
I think it's because of Hollywood and
show being made here in
LA,
all that.
Yeah, LA being the showbiz capital of the world and everything, that it's more of a TV
event,
more so than an actual crime fighting event. Because you see, he was Batman on TV, Bean. He wasn't really fighting in Gotham, and I think maybe that would be.
I see the distinction.
But if they want to do it, look.
Sure.
I would be absolutely all for that. The only thing I'm not all for is Jaden Smith
at all
being
ever.
Batman. I'm not down with him being Batman.
What?
Oh, you haven't seen his new video?
No.
Where he plays Bruce Wayne and Batman?
No.
In his new video, Batman?
No.
Where he pretends to be Bruce Wayne?
No.
And he's getting phone calls like, we have rumors that you might be Batman. And he's sitting at his desk going, no, I have no comment on that. And it's like, when you were a kid and you had a video camera and you would make your own awful little films.
But he doesn't have anyone to say, hey, stop it, that's stupid.
No. And he's got all the money to spend on it. And you know that white bat suit he wore to...
Oh, to a prom or something, right?
Not only to the prom, but also to Kim Kardashian's wedding?
Yes.
No.
Well, that features large in this video.
Oh. Sure. Sure. Sure it does.
It's about half just spoken word, like a fake movie.
Okay.
Right.
And then he goes into his Batman rap.
I'm sorry?
The second half of the video is his Batman rap.
Oh, please, yes, please.
No.
Yes, yes, please.
Do you have it, Ralph?
Please,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I have it.
Yes, please.
He's the worst.
Yeah. Batman, Batman, Batman. Joker just put me on acid. You want to wait like a maverick. It makes something happy. Batman, Batman, Batman. Please put me on new fashion. I ain't learned nothing since last year. You got the renegade fabrics. Batman, Batman, Batman. Please put me up in a test. I'm trying to be hella extra. Please hand me down any sweatshirt. Batman, Batman, Batman. Heard that you ain't got a mattress. Heard that you king of Manhattan. So I always stay in the bastards.
I can't.
Oh, wow.
I can't bear it no more.
I mean, come on now.
The only positive of that is Kevin was genuinely surprised that there was Jaden Smith news, which means you must have taken him off your tweet deck.
Oh, no, I still have him, but he's over on another column that I was unable to see.
Okay. Never mind.
Total effing BS column.
Yes. People I want to think I'm following but don't actually have to see their tweets.
Correct.
Seriously. That column?
Yeah, that column.
Okay.
I have a question for Jaden Smith.
Okay, he's not here.
Yeah, well, fortunately, we can't speak on behalf.
But go ahead.
What is the point of you?
Right? Right? I don't get that. I don't know if that's
in
needed.
In the video, it's him. He's fighting crime. And at one point, he's in front of the Man's Chinese Theater or the TCL Theater, whatever it's called now. And he's, like, fighting, like, the fake Spider-Man and Superman.
Dear
or taking
Lord.
Pictures in front of that. And
that's not what we need.
We had the best Batman to the worst Batman.
Yeah,
in the span of one showbiz beat. But
that's not.
He seems sitting at the desk with his feet up. We are from the newspaper, and we want to know, are you Batman?
I am not coming.
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
He's just the worst.
He's officially the worst.
He is the worst.
He is the...
At the top of the list of the worst?
Worst.
Him.
Worst.
Batman. Jenny, you're gonna send me a cat.
Batman. Joker just put me on acid. You want to wait like a maverick. We need to make something happen. Batman.
I ain't learned nothing.
That made it better. It did make it better, strangely.
And isn't it also just a ripoff of Jumpman? Was that Drake song? Was it Jumpman?
Yeah, it was Jumpman. Yeah.
It's the same damn thing.
Yeah, he's bad.
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
Doesn't get worse than him.
Yeah. Batman.
Right?
That's not a thing to do.
No, stop doing that.
Stop doing that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jim Belushi, 63 years old today. Helen Hunt is 54. You know her cousin Mike? No, I was wondering if anybody knows. Kevin, do you know Helen Hunt's cousin Mike?
I don't know him, but it's weird because I was in an airport once and he got paged.
Give him a shout out, Kevin.
I'd rather not.
Come on.
You're 12.
Courtney Cox is 53 years old. Ice Cube is 48. Leah Remini is 47 years old. Jake Busey celebrates his 46th birthday. Neil Patrick Harris is 44. And our pal Taylor Williamson.
Asshole.
No, he is not.
Why would you say that?
Guy in the world.
We love Tay-Dub. He is 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to our Incubus and Jimmy Eat World winner. To see the show at the Hollywood Bowl and eligible to see them in Seattle again, it is Michelle Nava from Montebello. Congratulations. Your chance to win coming up at noon, at 3, and at 6 p.m. today. Details at krock.com. We're so lucky to know our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, who joins us on the phone every week at this time. How are you, Doc?
I'm good. I'm just seeing the Cosby jury is deadlocked.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I that's what I'm wondering, too. I guess that's it.
Isn't that a hung jury?
Yeah.
And so he walks?
Yeah.
No, they're sending them back in.
Do they redo it?
The judge is sending them back in and saying, I'm not going to accept you this verdict yet. Go back and try again.
What is this, 4 days?
Yes, 4 days. And we talked about this with you, Dr. Drew, a couple of weeks ago, which is it's a he said, she said, and it's just a question of who you believe or who you like when it comes down to it, because there's no witnesses or evidence, right?
Yeah, that and the idea that it's also awful, you know, that this was a relationship and they were doing drugs together, and who's to say? To me, I blame the culture of that period of history. Although this one is sort of a newer event, I understand, but it's all left over from a period of history of really unhealthy behaviors.
All right, let me ask for a snap analysis of a patient that you have not treated, which I know is your favorite, and that is, what do you make of Dr. Cosby two times this week walking out of the courthouse and to the car, and with people yelling his name, he does, Hey!
From
Fat Albert.
What I've heard about him over the years is that he's never off. Friends of mine have taken care of him medically, and they said even in the exam room he can't stop. He's entertaining 100% of the time. You never know who the guy is, which is part of what's coming out here. We're finding
you're on
out
trial for rape. Maybe don't do cartoon voices on the way out of the courthouse.
I agree with you. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that's what I've heard. And we all reacted with yuck. Come on now.
Yeah, wow. Totally. Okay, here's the topic, and I think this is a fascinating conversation that we've been wanting to have with you, Dr. Jewell, especially in light of all of the controversy over Megyn Kelly sitting down with InfoWars.com Alex Jones this weekend on NBC. A lot of people are criticizing the network, advertisers pulling out, the Sandy Hook family saying it's an affront to their loved ones that they lost. Why put this guy on TV and give him a platform? Okay, so that's going on over here. You've got something kind of similar going on your show with Mike Catherwood today at 1 on KABC, right?
I believe it's tomorrow at 1 that we're having Milo Yiannopoulos on. And I did not book him. I did not ask for him. I was merely told that he will be joining us. And to be super honest about this, I don't know enough about the guy other than the crap storm he stirs to really feel one way or another. I get the point you guys are making. Can we give somebody a platform who says horrible things? But by the same token, if he's going to get platforms, why not have an environment we can really kind of poke at him and expose things? I always thought of the guy as an entertainer. You know what I mean? And in entertaining, he went too far.
He is a crazy alt-writer who had his book deal canceled, who's been kicked off of social media.
I get that he's not a good guy and he's controversial, but I'm hoping I can kind of get in there and ask questions that kind of open him up or expose things that other people wouldn't. You know what I mean?
I don't automatically hate giving these people a platform. I'm fine with it because I think people then see them for who they are.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping I can kind of pull the curtain back a little bit because, you know, our radio show, really, I hate everybody, right? I'm very much moderate. I'm sort of libertarian. Everyone's making me sick these days. And so for me, I have no stake in the ground. I have no horse in the race. I just want to find out about people. And if this guy... all I know, he looks like a cartoon character to me, and that's never the case. So I want to pull that back and go, what's up with you, man? What's going on here? And I know how to do that in a way that is non-threatening.
I know you do.
Find things out that other people won't find out.
I know you do, and you've got an awful lot of experience interviewing people, and you're very, very good at it. But, I mean, look, and I'm not disagreeing with Kevin. I don't know. I'm not saying you boycott everybody who has an unpopular opinion. But this guy, I mean, Ali, am I wrong if I say that he has expressed a lot of pro-pedophilia feelings?
Oh, yeah, that's what this guy has. Got him kicked off the headliner at CPAC.
Well, that's BS.
He says that not every 13-year-old is not mature enough to have sex. So it's not pedophilia if the kid is mature enough to know he wants it. You know?
I am the right guy for that conversation.
Right.
I am absolutely the right guy for that conversation.
And you don't let that fly. You shut that S down, right?
Yeah, because guess what, Milo? You're wrong. It is factually wrong. That's simply true. I understand that's your opinion. It's simply not factually the case. And I have tons of data to back that up. And so,
but does a guy like that consider data?
I don't give a crap. Here's my thing. Fine, say what you want, but you're speaking nonsense, and I would urge you to speak something meaningful. That's all. Nonsense does not go with me.
Why are you on our show?
Well, because I have to practice.
I mean, good question.
When your co-host Mike Catherwood tweeted this out yesterday and Instagrammed it out, and by the way, it is today at 1 o'clock.
It is today at 1?
It is today, yes. When he put it out there, it was...
Sure?
Yes, it was interesting. It was interesting to see the reactions, though, from your fans. It's everything from, if you're going to give him a platform, please don't let him get away with his BS. Call him on it, which is, it sounds like what you're saying.
I am reading a promotional announcement.
Okay.
Drew and Mike Catherwood have a special guest Friday at 1. But please do listen today at 1 as well on KBC 790.
Because you don't know. You never know what's going to happen.
You guys are trusting Catherwood right now.
Well, Catherwood did tweet it out with Thursday, June 15th
right.
at 1 on it.
Well, but, good for him. Everyone should tune in. I love that.
Again, okay. He makes us look at his poo in the toilet.
Right?
Oh, you get those too?
Yes.
He's untrustable, so...
So anyway,
listen both days at 1.
Yeah,
so there are people who say call him out on his BS, which it sounds like you're going to be doing. But the people that concern me the most are the fellow alt-writers who now rally around this as saying, you know, he's the only one out there speaking the truth. And does it not legitimize him that he gets to go on a real show like yours?
What would your advice be, Bean? Yeah, I feel like you're building a case.
I'm not at all. I'm just saying there are a lot of opinions out there. I don't know what's right or wrong. I guess everybody has to make their own decision.
I'm all about, I think we talked about Kathy last week, right? Kathy Griffin,
right.
Her thing, which I don't like. I don't like it at all. Nothing about it I liked.
Right.
But I liked even less the way people treated her. Therefore, I will stand with her against the mob. I feel the same way about free speech. It is the free speech that I hate the most that I feel I have to defend.
So when CNN interviews a white supremacist or something, you don't look at it as, oh, they're giving that person time and they shouldn't. You look at it as, we need to hear what these people have to say?
If you can't judge this for what it is, we have a bigger problem in our country.
That's what I think. It's shocking sometimes to see people like that still exist.
Yeah, I'm with Kevin. And fine, if you all exist, come out from under your rocks. Let's expose yourself. Let's talk. And we can expose. I used to bring in on HLN, I used to bring reformed white supremacists who talk about the state they were in when they were talking like that and how disturbed they were. And then they'll talk to, current white supremacists and sort of call them out. It's easy to do. If we let them sit and fester, it's like allowing an infection to brew and not poking at it and then letting the abscess drain.
Any of this that makes people talk, makes people think, makes people actually have a conversation, that's important. Do I like that Alex Jones is going on Megyn Kelly? Absolutely not. So guess what? I'm not going to watch it. Do I wish she also had Sandy Hook parents on in the same show? Absolutely. But you can't shut down speech just because you don't agree with it.
You guys are actually refining my position. I'm actually now getting a little more militant in the direction of put these people on the air and look how ridiculous. It's like putting they're ridiculous. They are out them for what they are. Don't let them sit in their echo chamber. When they're echo chamber, they have power. They start to build momentum and win. Pull them out into the light, show what nonsense it is, and let's get on with healthy people trying to make America better.
Yeah, the only concern is that echo chamber grows.
It grows when you ignore it and it sits by itself. Listen, I know how mental health works. These are paranoid, disturbed people that will listen to that kind of garbage. And if that guy that shot up the congressional baseball diamond the other day is someone that would sit and listen to this quietly. If he told some people what he was thinking and up to, we wouldn't have had that thing yesterday.
1 o'clock either today or tomorrow or a year from Wednesday on 790 KABC. Looking for Dr. Drew and Mike to be interviewing Milo. Don't forget drdrew.com for all the podcast live appearances and download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play to get a physician to come to your home when you need one. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Bye.
Thank you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
I'm Allie.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Happened that quick, too.
Yeah.
Doesn't...
Nope.
But,
no, it doesn't. No, sir.
I just
it doesn't. It's... It doesn't.
I mean...
I'm saying no.
One more time.
No, sir.
One more time.
What?
One more time.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
I'm Allie.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I can... grudgingly sometimes explain away some of your
right
lunacy
right,
but there are some things that are
you can explain away more than I can, though,
practically indefensible.
Yeah.
And looking at someone and having her having had her say her name,
yeah,
and then calling her by a different name,
but
is
she has a visual and a verbal
it's
clue.
Ludicrous.
Yeah, he was staring straight at
it wasn't
at
ludicrous
me.
First of all, she said her name, but then she said your name.
She said she was
so
sitting
had
in
she
for
said,
me.
Had she said, like, King Edward, I would have probably said that.
Thank you, King Edward.
I don't believe she ever subbed for King Edward.
I don't know why
that was an example.
I don't know. It must be a bad example, too.
Bean is catching.
What if King Edward saw a polar bear walking
down
the street?
I'm standing by that.
I can't wait for that file to be played.
Yeah. You're both just awful.
Right?
I'm saying.
Thursday morning, time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Tonight at 9 o'clock, I'll tell you what's going on. A very fitting tribute to a legend. TV's Batman, my friend Adam West, is going to be paid tribute to by the mayor of Los Angeles and...
How true!
...the chief of police as well, Charlie Beck. I guess it's appropriate that L.A.'s top crime fighter pays tribute to Batman himself, Adam West, and they're going to do it in a very cool, unforgettable way.
It's a trap!
It's not a trap at all. They're going to project... the bat signal onto the tower of Los Angeles City Hall at Spring Street.
Is this the big casino?
No, it's a big building. It's the City Hall.
What on earth can save them?
Well, nothing's going to save them because we're all going to be there at 9 o'clock tonight. People are going to start showing up around 8 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, actually, we're going to throw the switch and project the bat signal up on the building as a tribute and a memorial to the memory of Adam West.
So, watch out!
You don't need to watch out. You can come out if you'd like to.
What on earth can save them?
We already heard that one.
Oh, did we? I'm sorry. Yes. Repeating?
Again, it's 9 o'clock tonight. People are going to start getting there, I'm guessing, around 8 o'clock. So if you want to come out to the Spring Street steps of Los Angeles City Hall, that's 200 North Spring Street. We'll see you down there tonight at 9
p.m. Shocking!
Not that shocking at all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know, what is shocking is this, speaking of Batman, this new Jaden Smith video.
Oh, dear Lord, this is the worst.
That he has released. It is Jaden Smith as Bruce Wayne and Batman in a new video for his song Batman, which is basically him walking around in that white Batman suit he wears to high school proms and to other people's weddings.
I feel like he was looking forward to the death of Adam West, as terrible as that sounds. He is so awful.
Well, as many He's people so tweeted me about this story today, God took the wrong Batman. That's
well,
for sure.
Yeah.
He is in he's in this white bat suit, and he's hopping around, and he's rapping.
Sort of.
About Batman and the Joker and stuff. And it's something that a child would do with their parents' video camera.
It's like 5 years old.
Yeah.
Six.
And then everybody would go, oh, that's good. You did great. And they'd put it up on the fridge or whatever you do to celebrate.
Put videos.
It's amateur. It's ridiculous. It's insulting. It's banal. And it's on the
I don't even know that word, but I agree with you.
It's on the internet if you want to check it out. You got to see the whole thing because the first half is just straight up sort of film of Jaden Smith as Bruce Wayne, and then the second half is his song. And so here's a little piece of the song.
Yeah. Batman, 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 Joker just put me on acid. You wanna wait like a maverick, we need to make something happen. Batman, 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 please put me on new fashion. I ain't learned nothing since last year, you got the renegade fabric. Batman, 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 please put me up in a Tesla. I'm trying to be hella Asher, please hand me down any questions. Batman, 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 heard that you ain't got a mattress. Heard that you're king of Manhattan, you always stay in the bashes.
It's as if he can't even muster enough enthusiasm to listen to himself.
Oh, that's his style, Ralph. That's his style. He's the worst.
What are we going to do?
Right?
Here's a good one. Ariana Grande. For all her work that she's done to raise money for the One Love Manchester charity.
Ariana Grande?
That's right. She raised more than $3 million for the British Red Cross with that concert alone, let alone all the other donations that have come in. The City Council of Manchester, England, is going to name her its first ever honorary Mancunian. She will be officially honored as a citizen of Manchester in light of all the things that she did. And that will happen sometime later this month, I think. But that's nice that they're going to pay her tribute because she's a very poised, giving young lady, and she did a great thing with that concert. So, good for her. And Gene Simmons, while we're talking about icons, Gene Simmons hysterically applied for a trademark this week so he could trademark the rock and roll horns hand gesture.
Hasn't everyone been doing that since the beginning of time?
You don't know, man.
Somebody had to do it first.
Right? Gene Simmons says it's him. We're talking about the hand gesture. This is the quote from the United States Patent and Trademark Office from the paperwork. The hand gesture with the index and small fingers extended upward and the thumb extended perpendicular.
Hello, Los Angeles! Rock and roll!
You know, so that hand gesture.
That's not the shocker, right? It's similar, but it's not the shocker.
No.
Don't be ridiculous.
This.
Yeah, it's very different.
Two, all right, I got you. Index and middle finger together with the pinky finger extended.
You can still use that one, Bean.
Now, look, I know everybody likes to make fun of
Gene. Now, Gene says he did it first.
That's my question. Is it possible that...
No.
Kevin, why are you poo-pooing? If he did it first, does he deserve the shot at...
Here's my favorite thing of the whole story. Gene says he used it first on November 14th, 1974.
Dear Diary, I was out at a club tonight, and I extended my
middle, my index and last finger and held my thumb perpendicular.
It's a so you're saying, exact date.
How would he know?
How do you know November 14th, 1974?
Right. Yeah, agreed.
He also said he used it on the cover of the band's 1977 album, Love Gun. That also establishes his authorship.
Forgive me if this is a dumb question, but let's say they give him the copyright. With the exception of when people have used that on a T-shirt or something like that, is there any money in copyrighting?
Yes. Things? Think of all the deaf people who love other people.
Oh, right. Sign language.
It is the sign language for I love you. So if you're a deaf and in love, you're going to pay out the ass to Gene Simmons. Right?
So if he got this copyright and somebody made another rock and roll movie and threw that in the film, they'd have to pay him for
cha-ching. It. Cha-ching!
Okay.
Now, don't get confused with what Ronnie James Dio and other hard rockers have done, which is the horns with the thumb clasped over the middle two
folded
fingers.
Over, right.
Folded over.
That's different.
That's the malocchio, as they say in Sicily, in Italy. That's the evil eye. I put a spell on you. Hey, I put an evil curse on you with the malocchio. Hey, Cesarice con Masure. A zip, a zip, a zoo.
What's going on?
I just cursed you.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So this is the one with the thumb out.
Ralph thumb is done by okay.
Gotcha.
Rock and roll!
I wonder what'll happen next on that.
Do they have
a hearing, or does the patent office just say no?
No, they can't have a hearing because
Ralph, it's sign language. Ralph, I'm going to ask you to stop. Holy crap.
Wouldn't be fair to have a hearing.
Come on, man.
Hopefully they just laugh it out, right? They just say, go,
like
away,
hugging
from,
it up?
Just go away from us.
Oh, I'm saying laugh him out of the courtroom. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Don't even waste our time. Nope.
Save that for tomorrow.
I don't think that's how lawsuits, if there's a lawsuit. I don't know
there's
if
no
there is.
No lawsuit. He filed paperwork with the patent office. That's
and
all.
Somebody has to take that seriously and decide whether it's a legitimate claim or not.
Right. But no one's suing anybody.
Right. But what I'm saying to Kevin's point is I don't think the answer is just to laugh him out of the room. I think you look at it and go either there's enough evidence to support that it's his or it's
and
not.
Then and you laugh him out of the room. Mm-hmm.
Right? I just wonder what other things Gene Simmons is trying to trademark and patent.
Hmm.
I wonder what that would sound like. I wonder if there's a way.
Talk
if there's
to
a way
Simmons.
To have that.
I wish we could.
I just wonder.
Same.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jim Belushi, 63 years old today. Helen Hunt is 54. Courtney Cox, 53 years old today. A lot of heat, by the way. Bean's getting a lot of heat.
Well, Courtney Cox should definitely, I think.
Coxbill,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now you say that. Five hours in. Now you've noticed.
Yeah. What, do you get your feelings hurt?
Well, no. No, I'm just saying.
Pay close attention to my bell work.
No. What I'm saying is it must not have been that serious an infraction if nobody noticed until now. Infraction.
I did think the Leah Remini not getting a bell
Leah
was odd.
Leah Remini.
Yeah. That was odd to me.
That hurts me.
So let's go with both.
Yeah. Bell them up.
Bell them up.
Hear your bell work.
There it was. I
no,
didn't
know that. Oh, come on.
Get one for each of them. That's tepid at best. Hit it.
All right. Ice Cube's 48 years old. Jake Busey is 46. Neil Patrick Harris is 44 years old. And Taylor Williamson, our good pal Taylor. Love him. He's a good man. Funny man. Nice man. 31
years old. He is the founder of ISIS. He's pretty the founder
sure,
of ISIS.
I'm sure he had nothing to do with it. That organization whatsoever.
He knows more than you do, though.
Doesn't he always call people Bubba?
No.
I don't think he does.
Doesn't. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We need to give away some tickets for the K-Rock section to see the L.A. Galaxy against the Houston Dynamo. Is it a good idea, you think, for the Galaxy to give the K-Rock section, to give us an entire section?
Well, it's not like you'll be there with them.
I'll be there.
Oh,
what?
No. Oh, no.
You think that's a smart move? On their part,
we'll be doing this sign a lot.
Yes, we will.
The rock and roll horns.
We'll be saying we love you as 1-800-5.
Holy crap!
What? Just stopped.
1-800-520.
Did you stroke out?
No.
Did you get shot?
No. What happened was Dave talked in my headset.
Oh, uh-huh. You can't listen.
I thought it was on the air, so I thought you all heard it.
Because
right. He said,
"Come on, man."
He said, "Hey, do you want to give them away now?" While I was doing it.
Gotcha.
And I thought everyone heard it. Apparently only I heard it.
Yep.
You're hearing voices again, Kevin.
All right. Callers 20 through 24, 1-800-520-1067. A pair of tickets inside the K-Rock section to see the Galaxy and the Houston Dynamo at StubHub Center. It's this Saturday night, plus... Shut up, Omar, in my headset. Plus, access to an exclusive post-game autograph session. Tomorrow morning...
Don't get that joint.
Get out of my headphones, mugs. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin DeBee show, comedian Jim Gaffigan, a brand-new internet roundup. EDM pioneer Carl Cox will join us tomorrow. The documentary is called What We Started, and we've also got the movie beat because it's Friday. We'll see you tomorrow.